Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 308. I'm Ticket Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
So yeah, we've got some what you been playing. I guess mystery middle segment.
Trioptical asks.
Cheat sheet, run away.
Trioptical asks.
I don't know how to turn that one into an R something.
Just request something or something.
We have the two R's and the three R's, so we could do one R or four R's.
And then use it still.
Well, just find a word for ask that starts with an R, and then...
Request?
There you go.
Tropical request.
Tropical request.
TR, just call it TR.
TAR.
You have to do it the other way around, because it's just like, because it doesn't match the other...
Art.
Yeah, so it's like request of tropical or something like that.
People are going to think it's retweet.
Good. That's the point. We go and retweet that or something.
So,
yes. On to the first thing.
I'd rather not, because I said we would totally not talk about it, but I guess there's some stuff to mention because I can finally be done. Gamer can be done. Zephyr was like Destiny forever, so I feel sorry for him, but I don't, because that's his loss. Whatever. He can just sit there and have fun. But yeah, apparently Bungie was all like, oh yeah, we see your whining in the forums or whatever, and the suffering that we've inflicted upon you with the terrible loot drops of Crimson Days and the 320 ghosts that you've all been going for, and we'll just send them to you in the Postmaster. And I was like, oh, sweet, so if I don't get one in the raid this week, which I probably won't, and I didn't, I'll get one from the Postmaster, so, you know, by the 23rd, I can get that, put it on my Warlock, and he'll be 320, and in a day or two, I'll just be, like, stuck at 319 forever. I don't care. I'm over it. I'm free. And I think I'm going to take a break now, because, you know, the game is so evil, I couldn't get the loot drop I needed the developers to, like, personally be like, okay, fine.
Just you, have it.
People, you lowly guardians of the galaxy, you are... We'll give you these 320 ghost shields and have fun or whatever. So yeah, I feel like I didn't earn it. It was just some sort of like,
because I mean they gave it to
like
you.
Booty prize,
obviously.
Reward when the game wasn't working correctly, which it never does because it's terrible. Whatever. Hey,
well, I mean, like think about what that means. Like, how do you earn it? Apparently, what was it? The percentage chance of I just got that. Percentage chance of a 320 ghost shell drop was apparently less than 1%.
Wow.
It was like less than, I think it was like 0.02% chance of a 320 ghost
drop.
Three
in a row, then. That
you got three? Wait, you got three in the Crimson Double?
You got three in Iron Banner.
Okay, well, that's different. Like, just in Crimson
Double.
Oh,
you mean just Crimson Day? Oh, I was like,
yeah, apparently. Because they were saying the percentage drop. Or percentage chance of a ghost shell dropping was something like 4%. And wow. Then on top of that, like you're rolling two things. Like, do I get a ghost shell? And then once you've got the ghost shell, okay, is what light level is it?
That's crazy because I got a ghost shell, but it was 312. I was like, after that, I was like, you know what? It's not worth it. And I was like, I'm not going to grind this on.
That's yeah, like that was the thing.
Chances, like, extreme, like you basically have no chance of getting. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, it's a fifth of a percent, and that was the only, like, as far as you know, feeding into the loop of oh, I become more powerful if I can kill more powerful stuff. There are other problems with that loop in Destiny, but if that's all you're going for, the only prize from Crimson Doubles was the 320 ghost shell, and what's that? You have to play. Like, thousands of games. Out of 1,000 games, you could get their 5 chance. Is that right? 2 chances.
No. Oh, that's
that, yeah, that's crazy.
That sounds fantastic.
And, of course, in the weekly update, they're like, oh, hey, guys, no big deal. That guy 320, if he didn't finish you off, we're going to raise the light level again, because why wouldn't we want to, like, kill all the remaining fan base that actually likes to play this game and, like, suffer through it? Haha, have fun. So I was like, yeah, I think I'm done. So unless it's like something super awesome. I mean, I'll probably like run through it once, whatever it is, and be like, okay. But I doubt it'll give me the healing I need to come back and be like, I like this game. I want to abuse myself over and over again. Please.
I apologize.
It is sort of weird. I mean, they kind of did the same thing again. Where,
yeah, that's what we were saying in the raid. Like, will it just be House of Wolves 2.0 with like more Prison of Elders crap? or just...
Well, no, I meant, like, before Galahorn became not that useful, they sold Galahorn. And it was supposed to be random, but it was very coincidental. And now it's like, oh, we're raising the light level cap, so here's those 320 shells you worked so hard to get that basically no one got. But they're not going to matter anymore, because you'll be able to buy them in the tower. Probably. I don't know that for sure, but probably.
I wouldn't doubt it, because it's a theme destiny.
Well, it's probably the case, because, I mean, when anytime there's, like, the new DLC, there's always, like, armor is, like, better than the previous set of armor you had.
Yeah. It's a fire sale on the old DLC, right at the last moment, when it's still kind of cool. Like, if you didn't know any of this stuff, and you just pop on to your postmaster on the 23rd or whenever they're sending them out, it's like, oh, cool, a 320 ghost shell. Well, yay, I'm 320.
Like, you're only going to get it if you finish the quest to get, like, the 7 matches done.
Well, you only had to play 7 matches. Like, yeah. That was the requirement. So, yeah, like, those people.
Which is better than the thousands. So.
If people who aren't following the game beyond just playing the game, then that's kind of cool.
Oh,
they'll have a little bit of time where they're like, yeah, I'm at the level cap. Maybe.
I doubt anybody that plays it that casually is at the level cap trap to call. Unless they have really, really amazing loot drops.
They might.
Like, which is possible. Because,
friends that
you know,
carry them. And,
statistics.
Yeah, really amazing loot drops. Wait, RPG is not at the light level cap?
Well, no.
Really? From what we've seen this year, you're not at the light level cap?
Well, that's
well, what are you missing?
Because of my rare the helmet for anything.
Just the helmet? Oh, okay.
Because that's like the only thing.
Oh, yeah, Gamer finally got his helmet, so he got his Titan 320, so he air quote, won, because you don't actually win in Destiny. I found this out. This is like what's that word called? When you're... Enlightenment. Yeah. I gained enlightenment in the game of, like, you know what? You never win. Destiny is like we say, like, Destiny is like the real allegory to Destiny in real life. It's like, you know, it'll happen. Stuff will happen. It's your Destiny. Blah, blah, blah. But you'll never win.
There are no winners in Destiny. There are no winners.
Because, hey, guess what? Guess what happens? What happens? Last thing? Okay, never, I'm not going to... That'll take it to a dark place. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. But yeah, stuff goes down. Stuff goes down.
I turned on your stream at, like, pretty late, and you guys were still raiding.
Yep.
Did you start at, terrible. Like, 10 or something?
No, we just had a really bad second run.
Ah.
Really bad second run.
Oh.
Very bad.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, yeah, that was my Destiny adventure. Watching Tekken's Destiny adventure. Getting the ghost shells. Oh, 312. Thanks, Des. I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna say anything.
That sounds about right.
Then I finally got the the shader for or whatever it is that you get for all the 50 calcified fragments, because I killed Mini Kuroda, which was one of the ones I was missing apparently, because I only did it on the Warlock and he didn't have the one that the other two had, so I was like, oh well, if I just kill him with one of the other ones, which was the Hunter, and I got it, so yippee skippy, some crappy shader.
That's it.
I got, like, some other crap, but it's nothing awesome, so it's whatever. Like, some Motes of Light, some Strange Coins, some artifact that's not 320 and terrible, so, yeah.
Wow.
Just some other crap that's not important at all.
Sorry.
Yeah, like, that seems like a huge problem that they have to address. There's a disconnect between how much effort stuff takes and the rewards that you get out of it. Like, some of the quests, before they nerfed them, they were pretty long and arduous, and then you get to the end, and it's like, here's this helmet at 260 or at 240.
Like,
here's
oh,
a light level 3 ghost shell.
Thanks, Destiny.
Here's a rocket launcher that's not Yellowhorn.
I mean, the raid is supposed to be the ultimate thing, but actually the raid doesn't take the ultimate amount of time. Other stuff takes ultimate amounts of time. And even with the raid, it's like, you go through it, it's like, yeah, this was supposed to be the ultimate thing. And I kind of got rewarded.
Yeah.
See. That was last week, right? It was at the same time as the, when they announced the Crimson Doubles, like, freebie, quote unquote. Basically, like, the big expansion is coming in the fall, and then a sequel is coming next year.
Oh, yeah.
So it is a sequel.
Well, actually, I think that was this week. Because we were talking about it in the raid this week of like, well, this, we don't have to worry about but Disney 2 this year because it's not this year.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Since the last podcast is when they announced all that stuff.
Yeah, I remember seeing a tweet from Gamer like saying something about, oh, they made all our stuff pointless or something like that, and I didn't know what was going on. Then I saw the news story. I was like, oh.
What did you think was going on? Yeah, it's Destiny. It's already happened like 3 times.
I was like, did they announce Destiny 2 for tomorrow or something? What's going on?
There should just be a term for it. Because like Destiny is taken. That's the physics stuff that happens. Oh, apparently they fixed the teleporting ogres.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess since you guys all use Touch Malice, like, you don't see teleporting ogres
really
anyway.
No, but it doesn't really matter.
It's only when I snipe them or shoot them with the scout rifle that they're like, hey, apparently they were stuck behind the,
bombs.
The light, yeah, the bombs. And they decided, well, I can't just be stuck here. And they teleport to the center because there's no bombs there.
It makes sense. It's physics.
Yeah, I guess my feelings toward Destiny have changed in the sense that I always wanted this game to be like the platform that they just keep iterating on, or not iterating on, but like building upon, because I think that's a cool way to make a game. But I guess Destiny, with its myriad problems at the sort of core of it, that maybe a sequel is a good idea.
And at least this guarantees that it'll be current gen only, so
doesn't guarantee an RPG.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Until I see what platform it's for, that is like the life or death of the game for me. Of like, well, you chose to be anchored by last gen. Peace out, Disney. Pour one out. You're dead to me. Deuces. I'm done. I have other games to play. And Mass Effect exists now. Andromeda, save me. Yes.
There's a good chance that it is going.
Then, so.
Yeah. There's a chance that it's going to be next gen only. A lot of companies are just like, yeah,
Black Ops 3 was like multiplayer only on the other ones, and Activision really likes money, so yeah.
Well, yeah, that's like Activision now is totally okay with releasing really nerfed versions of their games for PS3 and Xbox 360. It wasn't multiplayer only. They took out the co-op campaign.
Yeah, if there's no campaign dropped, well, that's multiplayer only.
I think.
Well, oh, that's right. Yeah, it was just. Oh, yeah, they took out the whole campaign. Multiplayer, yeah, so, you know, they could do something like that with Destiny 2.
Or they just won't care. They just won't care. Because they're like, money, my dear boy, money. And then...
Or they'll just, they'll keep supporting Destiny 1 on Xbox 360. You can still build your character. It's going to be really frustrating because, well, you've played our game. But
I was just about to say, you know how this
can
works.
Still play it.
You know how this works. Oh, man. Well, on the bright side, you probably won't have to worry about playing Destiny 2 because you'll probably have so many other things to be playing instead. So you'll be
fine. Well, I've already got stuff to look forward to. Last Guardian, Final Fantasy VII Remake. I keep wanting to call it Advent Children 2 or something, not that, or Crisis Core 1.5, whatever.
Well, it's basically Crisis Core at this point.
Because it's like, it's not the same battle system, and it looks amazing, which is like, or like, it doesn't look like Final Fantasy VII, because it's like 10 years, however many years later, 10, 20 years, whatever. It's way more advanced than Final Fantasy
VII. It came out in 97, so it's been...
Advent like, style.
Oh, it's been a while.
Final Fantasy VII Advent Children Edition. Yeah, that's what I'll call it.
Well, I mean, I think that's initially what they wanted to do with it anyway, and then they just couldn't because graphics just didn't have, or the consoles just didn't have the power to do it, so.
It's like that tick thing, I was like, man, it made me believe, I was like, it'll never happen, and then last year, it's like, and they're using all the assets from Advent Children, yes, yes, oh, yes, fan dream, it's happening, yeah! So, yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's why Versus got moved, because it was supposed to be like Advent Children battle style or something, but they couldn't do it with the PS3.
And then there's Human Revolution, Borderlands 3, there's plenty of games. F Destiny. You know, I've learned over my month of backtracking with the game is I can just go from game to game and have a fun time and not be all like, oh man, if only that game wasn't in my backlog, and be all sad about it and be like, oh, stuck playing Destiny. F that.
Just
time
careful.
To go back to the backlog beatdown and just be like, you want some mini game? Let's do it. On the next one. Yeah, just do it. Yeah. Just add to my scoreboard, which I totally did this week. Design, so we'll get there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm just off the Destiny train completely at this point, so I think I got it out of my system.
Yeah, it's funny because Tiger Fox posted on Facebook that he was getting a PS4 bundle with it, and I was like, you might want to not get this and get a bundle with something else, because this game will rip out your soul and make you feel depressed and hate the world and not be happy. So just don't ever say I didn't warn you, because I totally warned you.
That's a great endorsement. They should put that on the box.
This game will rip out your soul. TicketMasterEndlessPolygons.com. Not in a good way, by the way, so you know.
Like, sold.
Ah.
So I guess that's all for Destiny, because... Oh.
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 Man, so, yeah, cool. That we're finally playing new stuff. Breaking free.
I dug out of the tunnel. I'm out of the mountain. Yes! Free! I reached the end. I see the lights. I'm cleansed. I'm completely cleansed of death.
What's happening?
I'm not cleansed of that. I'm cleansed again. No more Dark Destiny days. Ugh, and that mountain that I chiseled through with my thingy. I mean my hammer and whatever sharp devices I had to chisel holes and stuff.
I don't think that's how that works.
Whatever you build drills and or whatever you do to get through a mountainside stuff. Yeah.
Forever unclean.
Well, so the new thing, the new hotness this week is Street Fighter V.
I forgot to get it. Oh no.
I
failed.
Well, so, Tekken, what do you think?
I like the game. I just wish there was more to do.
Yeah. I guess it's different for me because I'm bad at Street Fighter. So, like, what up to what level survival have you cleared?
I cleared right before the podcast normal. So, or
normal wait, is no, 30 yeah. rounds?
Yeah, because hard is 50 and hell is 100.
Oh, and it's called hell.
Yeah, I was surprised myself at hell difficulty. I was like, this is not very Street Fighter to have a hell difficulty, but
I know, like, that sounds okay. Unusual.
Wait, so
is that a place here?
Did you notice any difference between easy and normal other than the number of rounds?
Not really. The AI didn't seem... Except for when I got to the very end. Bison was like... I don't know what happened, but I almost got like... I almost like just breezed through the 29 before the 30th, and then like Bison proceeded to like mop the floor with me, but luckily I got like a fire quest. And it saved the day, and I beat that person, and it gave me momentum into that fight. And I was like, whew, that was close. Bison almost ended me there.
Huh.
Just wiping the floor.
It's really weird. Yeah, like, there's no difficulty settings for story mode. And story mode seems, like, even for me, playing characters I don't know, for most of it, it was like, wow, it was way easy. Oftentimes I could just stand there and wait for them to come, like, I want to counterattack, and they will never attack. They'll just be crouching there. It's like, what are you doing? You're not Guile? Yeah, it was,
don't worry, he's gonna fall
very
for
strange.
It. He's gonna fall for it.
That was, like, the one thing I did like, though, is, like, it, instead of having, like, the, like, normal arcade mode where it's, like, fight, however many enemies get to the end, fight the boss, blah, blah, blah. It was like, you had the story mode is like structured like a story where it's like narrative of like, I mean, yeah, the art is kind of but it's like, you know, you have the character and their dialogue. They're talking about, oh, well, this is what I've been up to since the last time you saw me. Or this is my adventure in Street Fighter V and where I'm at in the timeline because it's kind of out of place on some
yeah,
characters.
Yeah, it feels...
And it's like, what's going on? What
it kind of reminds me of like Zelda where... I guess the timeline between the games doesn't really matter, and maybe it will matter once they release the cinematic story mode, but right now it's just like, some of them are completely flashbacks. It's like, oh, I'm going on this journey, and oh, remember that time? And then, like, all the fights that you fight are in the past. And then other ones are like, they say they're in the past, but it's like, I don't remember that character from back then. It's like, or maybe that didn't actually happen. Like, was that... in the game canon, or because there's a lot of other side Street Fighter stuff that has told Street Fighter stories, but they're not necessarily what the game told. And I don't know the game stories well enough to actually tell you, like, maybe he could have been there. Maybe he, like, we just didn't see him.
Yeah. I feel like when you're, playing it, and then, you see all, the guest characters come in, of like, oh, there's Crimson Viper, or hey, there's Sean and Laura, because they're brother and sister. But then it's, like a super tease of, if he's not in the game,
there was a tease of Jury, and Jury, she is going to be in the game. She's one of the DLC characters.
And it kind of made me wish, none of the DLC got, because it would have been, even more, Christmas morning anticipation of, ooh, are they going to be in the game later? Are they going to be in the game later? You see somebody in, a background on a stage, Alex is there, and it's ooh, is he going to be in the game? Ooh, is he not? Because I completely forgot, because I didn't, read any of that stuff, because I didn't want to, have it be ruined for me, so I was whatever. I'll just wait as it gets announced and comes out, and enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the end, once you get past the illustrations, they seem sort of cheap. They actually did do more than I think they had to with them. There was with Rashid's story scene, there was that part where it showed his text messages and the stuff he was browsing on the side, and I was that feels like, they went low expectations here. They went a little bit beyond what they had to do, whereas it just seemed a lot of times when story modes come out like this, it just feels like, oh, we ran out of time. We were going to do fully animated, but we couldn't, so we colored in our rough sketches, and here they are. And that's the story. We just used our storyboards.
It's also, nice that they just, left it at that instead of being well, we could have this super awesome story, but we're going to just delay it until the summer, and, instead they can just, release it in the summer with, the free DLC, and, have it be this another digital platform game, which hopefully doesn't be real like other games I'm not going to mention. So.
I think it can work with this one. I think it can work with this. Because, this is what Capcom has always done with the Street Fighter games. It's just that now, instead of buying a new disc every time, they can just update the one that they're working on, or that we already have. The other part that I thought was pretty, I don't know if it's nice, but it's a compliment to their story mode, is that they didn't pad it out unnecessarily.
Yeah, it's just a couple episodes per character.
Yeah, which at first is what? It was only 3 episodes per character? But then when you play the other characters, there's parts where they could have crossed again. And, they could have made you fight the same battle from both sides for every single character that runs into each other. And they didn't do that. And it's so they could have padded it out more. And a lot of fighting games do that. But, I guess they were restrained there, and we don't need to do that. We're doing cinematic one later. Which, now after seeing these ones, ooh, I'm very excited to see what the cinematic
The trailer for it when they showed it.
Yeah.
Because I think they had this part with the Shadaloo thing when they're with Seth in it. I was wait, what is it tied into 4? I was ooh, I'm all excited now. I was ooh, so yeah.
There was actually a fully 3D animated cutscene with Birdie and Karin, is that her name? One of their story sequences was fully animated.
It was?
Yeah. There was one where they were talking to each other and it was it was animated. Whoa.
Also, that was another cool thing is I didn't know a lot about Birdie before the game, but just his stuff in the game is hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm just I laughed so hard. He's I don't want to be in Shadaloo. I'm going to keep this sweet pendant, though. I'm not going to wear that hat. This is too fashionable hair, dude. You can't ruin this beautiful, majestic beast. So if you guys, Shadaloo, I'm out of here. Oh, you want to kill me now? Can we talk this over? Oh, too late. Okay, alrighty. That's great.
Because, throughout all the story mode, or story campaigns for each character, Birdie's basically there to get beat up while he's doing other stuff. Yeah. Oh, I'm running away from Shadaloo now. It's hey, that guy looks like a bad guy. He's stealing donuts. I don't want to fight you.
If you play from his perspective, oh, he just wanted to run away. Yeah. He wasn't really in Shadaloo. That's why he had the necklace on.
Oh.
That's why he was stealing donuts.
Why do you want to leave Shadaloo? They don't feed me well. Oh man, I also Dalsim's story. It was this cop just wants to learn how to teleport, or he wants to learn yoga so he can protect the weak. And the illustrations are hilarious when he's teaching him to blow fire. Oh, so good.
And Rainbow Mika and Zangief.
bear.
Muscle spirit.
Yeah. After you get past the sort of lo-fi-ness of it all, it's actually pretty entertaining. And then the other single player thing is the survival mode. It's better than I thought it would be. I didn't read anything about it.
I didn't know it was going to be like a, I thought it was just going to be like a normal survival mode of just like kill or like beat all the enemies without dying. I didn't know there'd be like, you know, your points and you could like put it back into your health or your attack or defense.
You get to like gamble.
Yeah. Or like do the double down thing. It's like, why would you go for points? Let your opponent be super powerful. That's not a good idea.
Well, so the points thing is sort of disappointing right now, as far as I can tell, because it looks like you're only competing on like a local leaderboard, which is weird. It's like, shouldn't this have an online leaderboard and then you compete with your friends to see who has or who can get the most points in survival? But since there isn't that, I was just like, Double Down is kind of fun. Like, the ultimate one, I think it's the Double Down 5. It's like, oh, your V-trigger and your critical art bars don't charge. Your health is reduced to minimum, so you just have this sliver of health. But you get 10 times the points if you win.
How are you supposed to win a match like that?
Perfect. You have to perfect them.
That sounds simple. In Street Fighter?
Yeah, it's fun. It's like, so at the end of every stage, you get to wager your points. Or you can just say nothing. Or you could say, okay, I want better defense, but it'll take off like 6,000 points. Or I want full health back, and I'll take out down like 15,000, I think. And then it's like, there's the ones like, yeah, if I sacrifice half of my health or all of my health, I will get triple points or 10 times the points or double points. I'm like, this is more involved than I thought. And now it's like, I'm hearing from Tekken, there's way more rounds in the higher difficulties.
Yeah, because I went straight to hell after I finished easy, because I was like, psh, I got this. And I got like the 27 and I lost. And I was like, okay, let me just do it the way I was going to do it and just go from the top to the bottom to the top as far as difficulty. Let's just do normal next. Let's not overdo it and pace ourselves.
Wait, how do you know there's 100? Does it say?
Yeah, it says on the bottom of the screen. Oh. Like, blah, 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 100 opponents, blah, blah, blah.
Cow.
I think I also checked the trophies too, but I don't think it had it in this trophy thingy.
It's pretty awesome. But yeah, like, I think it really needs that online leaderboard. So have you played online at all?
I did today. It was not working at all yesterday. Yeah. I could not get into any matches, and I was like, you know what, just turn FighterQuest off and just play online to get your fight money up, because that's my fight money. I forgot to do it, but yeah, my fight money, that's what we're doing, grinding up fight money, just so I don't have to worry about paying any money, which is cool to buy stuff when it comes out, which is weird because the shop is not there for the challenges. It's like grayed out, but it's there, so, you know, there's a patch in March that will add it, so yay.
It feels like sort of like a Drive Club situation, where the game seems very dependent on online, and I guess very quickly, on day one, they realized, oh crap, it's not really working that well. Okay, we'll turn off everything that's non-essential to getting people to fight, be able to fight each other online. And that didn't work either. So finally, day two, it's like, okay, we got that working, but we can't turn on challenges or store or any of that stuff yet, because, you know, one step at a time here.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing, though, because they had so many beta phases. Like, I thought they had it all ironed out. I had like complete faith in Capcom, like, did not F this up, and they totally effed it up. And I was like, wow, they, even after all those betas,
yeah,
and all that stress testing, still didn't get it.
Well, they didn't really stress test it, because it was only for pre-order people.
Oh, that's right.
It's going to be a small number. It's hard to say exactly.
I just remember that first beta when like it wasn't working. Everybody's playing training mode and it's like, oh, it's not working right now. Oh, please don't let this happen at launch.
and then it happened at launch.
And it happened. It was like, no, but at least I got to play because it's not online only. Yay.
Yeah. So, that was
in that regard
better.
It's like I gotta get my refix in, man. Can't just bait the game in front of me and not let me throw some Hadoukens out. Ugh.
So, fundamentally, it feels like they've changed some of the, like, how you use some of the moves.
It does
that feel like that?
Yeah, like, because, Wow, I haven't messed around with Cammy enough, but like I think they took out her back fist thingy that like lets you go around Firebolt. Or like
it's, oh no,
like,
that, has, like, that's her V trigger.
Oh, it is okay. If you just... Oh, that's the other thing is like yeah, like the V system is basically really cool because it's different for every character and very situational. So it's like, and then like since I haven't messed around with it enough, I have no idea what every many does. So now it's like when I buy it online, but I've only had like 4 or 5 matches. When I'm 4-0, yes, 4 or 5, yes. No, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm undefeated in casuals. Yes, filthy casuals. You're so tasty and delicious. But it's like when the pressure's on and it's like you see that their bar is filled, it's like, what does theirs do? Because it's like, I have no idea. I know what mine does. I have no idea what theirs does. I hope they don't know how to use it, because if they do and get a win, oh man.
Fun.
But I'm definitely looking forward to playing this a lot
over
the next 12 months and beyond.
It's going to be really... Actually, it's sort of related to this. So someone, or I think it was Eurogamer, I was reading this article about they took the February update of Drive Club for a spin, and basically it's like a full 180 of what the game was at launch. At launch, everyone was sort of like, it's like subpar, it's not really working, there's a lot of... It feels sort of bare-bone and stuff, and now people are like, this game is amazing. It's like the successor to Project Gotham. And sort of Street Fighter, like, we don't know where it's going to go yet, but it's sort of in a similar boat. You think we're going to see more games like this from everyone?
I think from the AAA side, you will, just because it's more risk-averse to, like, you know, wait it out, hedge your bets, and then see, you know, okay, how good is it going to do, and then how much money are we going to throw into this after the fact, as opposed to being like, all right, here's another XYZ millions of dollar game that we just made, and let's hope it sells a ton of copies. And
so you think Drive Club, like, I don't know, actually, but you think Drive Club sold a bunch, and then they decided, we messed up, but people really like it still, so let's support it.
I don't think it was that case as much as it was, like, it was somewhat of a flagship game just because it was shown so prominently during the unveiling of the PS4, and it couldn't be an embarrassment because it was like such a high profile title. Mm. Of just like, we can't let this game fail because people have been paying attention to it since day one before the console came out. We can't let it sink and like have the stench of it be on our platform, not our console.
So Street Fighter is also, I think, it's very similar for Street Fighter too. The one true like third party. Console exclusive.
Yeah. It's pretty cool though, because like when I went into settings and like you can set it to like play against like what platform, I was like, I completely forgot it was a cross platform game of like PS4 and PC, and like you can play against people on like both platforms. I thought that was like so cool. I was like, I completely forgot about that. So that's pretty cool.
Yep. And to a lesser extent, but kind of similar, like the next Hitman is also a platform in a sense.
Oh man, Tropical. I completely forgot I played that game. Because I pre-ordered it so I could get in the beta.
Ah.
And then I played. I did like what I played. It was a fun time.
Nice.
Looking forward to it now.
So we should all pre-order it so we can all get into the beta, is what you're saying?
Well, RPG, you're terrible at stealth games, but that being said...
Well, except me, of course. I mean, I'm not going to, because I'm terrible at these types of games, but...
I mean, I'm sure you'll have an extremely high... more than is necessary body count, but you'll get through it.
Hitman is not even predatory stealth, I don't think. It's, you know, predatory stealth is really hiding and they don't know where you are and you just pop out and they're dead. Whereas like Hitman, you could
like a very cerebral, like how am I going, like a Rube Goldberg machine of like how I'm going to kill this person.
Yeah.
It's super crazy.
You
can
like,
do, I don't know,
like, really outlandish stuff.
Yeah.
Hitman Absolution says hi, and it was like, hey, remember that one time you need to sneak past this guy to get inside this house? Yeah, you're not going to sneak past this guy and get inside this house. So, yeah.
We'll blow up the house.
Well, that was the plan, but I don't have any bombs at the moment. So, yeah. I'm never going to finish the first level of Absolution.
We'll send carolers to the door and then blow up the carolers.
God, they should make games like this. They should be like an easy mode.
Like, the one I saw someone playing was the target was supposed to do like a jet fighter safety test or something.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that you can kill them is by re-engaging the ejector seat and then bringing the guy over to do the safety test.
That's what
and
I did.
He pulls the ejector seat and goes flying off and probably dies, but I think those things come with parachutes.
I think the other thing that makes Hitman unique in the stealth game is that it's not just about going in and taking out someone. It's like you have to infiltrate and exfiltrate. So it's like you have to go in then get out without getting detected. So it's like you can have like a smooth run, getting to the target, killing the target. But if you get spotted on your way out, or like stuff goes down on the way out, it's like, well, that was all uphill until XYZ happened, and then chaos ensued. Because I was like goofing around trying, because I wanted to mess with the fire alarm thing, because I saw it in that one video they put out, and I was like, okay, let's mess with the fire alarm and see if it does anything. And like, it didn't like make the AI like react as far as like the civilians and be all like, ah, fire. So I was like, oh, that's disappointing. It just made like the security. Like, all the security AI just, like, went into, like, high alert mode of, like, something's going down. Let's see what's happening. I was like, oh, crap, that was, like, just putting in the chum in the water for sharks to come. And I am screwed now. So I'm going to just try to push this safety raft onto this guy. And no, because they're not looking. And, oh, I missed. Whoops. It's like stuff can go either really good or really bad. It's just a fun time the entire time. If worst comes to worst, you can just shoot your way out like RPG and everything is fine.
Hey, you don't knock it. Sometimes you have to brute force your way through things because reasons. So.
Yeah, RPG's option is like to always go loud. Because when he tries to stay quiet, it's like he trips and falls on something and draws all the attention to himself.
Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't even know how I do it half the time. It's like a talent in and of itself. Like, how do I even manage this?
Alright, I'm at the site. I'm about to go. Oh crap, he saw me. Going loud.
Oh wait, there's a couple of people looking at me suspicious. They're walking right toward me. Give me a second.
I don't understand. And it's like, I feel like sometimes they just come out of nowhere. I don't know. The game is just like against me when I play these kinds of games. They're like, yeah, it's him. Activate super alert mode or something. Cause it's like, I don't even know how. I don't even know how, man. I don't even know how.
It's pretty funny because I was playing the tutorial and like there's this part where you get a wrench and it's like it like instead of like I was thinking like you'd take the wrench and like hit somebody with it, but you actually like throw it in someone's face. And I was like, oh, I would have never thought to do that and use it as a projectile weapon, but whatever works for you, Agent 47. So I guess that's the other thing you can do in this game is like dress up as like all the people, so you can like, you know, infiltrate and like take the disguise and then like get into other areas that like you shouldn't be in, but now you can get in and then figuring out okay, how far will this disguise get me. So one of the things I did when I played the first stage, which is the boat level, the second time, is I took out a security guard and then I just walked my way up to the spot where this dude was meeting with this other dude, because that's what happens is like he meets with this guy, I forgot his name, it's whatever, and so you're supposed to take out this high profile dude. He's having this meeting with this dude. And so while that's happening, I knew from the last time I was there that the guy that he was meeting with would turn his back. So I just waited for that to happen, and I snuck up on the target and just used my my fiber wire to like choke him. I was like, oh yeah. So that's, yeah, I had my fix. I got my fix, sneaking up on somebody and choking him out, and that's great. And
just,
like I said, sometimes I have these urges to shoot someone in the face or stab him in the face, and I got it out of my system. So
I want to talk to someone about that.
With these regular FTS to Hitman, I can just do it all the time in a world of assassination.
I can't
possibly. As we were saying in the second stage, when you had to infiltrate the military base, I just took the opportunity to get the ejector seat stuff and, you know, get it all situated and then get the target to the seat, and then, yep, stuff happened. And I got him. Haha. And I streamed it, so if you want to check it out, it's totally on there somewhere. So, yeah.
It is totally on there. I saw it. I didn't see why, guys.
It's weird, though, because I didn't know the beta was timed when I, like, because I was, like, looking at it, and then, like, I think I bought it before the fact, and so I had it after the fact, and I was like, crap, not to play this, so I don't miss out on it, so. But I was definitely enjoying it, so I'm looking forward to it now. And it's in March, so yay, something to do in March, and then hopefully a continual update thingy. If not, Street Fighter might save the day. If not, well, we'll see what's next.
lots of stuff is coming.
There's a lot of stuff.
So what else was there? Well, so you mentioned the get in and then exfiltrate.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Assassin's Creed too, right?
Is it?
It's like Assassin's Creed gives you way fewer
all the time
about killing people, but like when they first talked about the play, you know, assassination core game, like they talked about, okay, now you've jumped in to kill them, and now you got to run away.
Well, that's not always the case. So sometimes, like,
yeah, sometimes
it'll, like, desynchronize or something afterwards or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And it'll, like, go back to, like, Desmond or and his crew. He's like, yeah, you got what you need to do. On to the next thing.
I ran away to another world. In the future.
Just cheating. It's not real assassin-like, man. It's not real assassin.
Speaking of Assassin's Creed, I did finish Liberation, so I can talk about that, I guess. But I enjoyed it. It got weird at the end. I was like, I just can't play an Assassin's Creed game where it doesn't get weird at the end, I guess. I guess that's just like a running theme with the games. It's just like, oh, you're at the end, stuff all of a sudden gets weird. Game ends, I was like, that's weird. I was like, this is very similar to how I felt at the end of 1, not so much 2, but yeah, just it got weird at that one too. So I was like, because it's like you never get out of the animus in this one, so it's like you don't know who you're... person that you're at, like, at the meta level of, like, I'm in the game, but I'm not that person.
I think in Liberation, you are you.
You mean, like, your user XYZ?
Yeah, no, you are you.
Like, the person that...
The person playing the game.
You are, oh, wait, actually, you are, because, like, there's this part where, it says, like, oh, I can't remember what it was, it's, like, something E, it's like, some, like, glitch in the system happens, but they pop up as, like, a person in the environment that you have to kill. And it's like, if you kill them, you get, like, the secret cutscene that plays in, like, at certain points.
Secret,
so that happened.
Secret.
It's interesting. Of like, oh, well, is Animus the company?
No.
Or Abstergo. It's like, Abstergo doesn't want you to see this, but this is how it really went down between Aveline and XYZ. And it's like, oh, that was pretty cool. So that's kind of cool of, like, the, you know, there's nobody behind this curtain, but there's totally someone behind this curtain.
I remember hunting down, like, the secret cutscene, and I think, was it 2 that did that, where you had to, like, find all the symbols or something?
Yeah.
And then it's, like, it showed you, like, some nonsensical cutscene that, like, I don't know. I was like, there's no context for this, so this, what did this tell me?
Yeah, that's like that's what happened at the end of this game. It's like, there's something that happened, and I looked at the trophy thing, and it's like, finish Aveline's story, and then it's like, in parentheses, fake ending. And I was like, F you, game. I'm not going back. I am not doing the Assassin's Creed 2 thing of like, going back to do all this blah, 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 just to like, see what really happened at the end. Ooh, because at the end, it's all like, cryptical, and, but I already know what happened, well, I don't know what happens in 3, but I, like, I already know like, what goes down as far as like, the setup for 3, of like, ooh, 2012, 3, Mayans, yeah. So I was like, yeah, you're not even, that's not even happening. It's like, oh, evil be the leader, blah blah blah, you blah blah. It's like weirdness of like stuff that like I kind of got a glimpse of in 2, but since I haven't played 3, oh, that's really the cool thing that happened in this one. It was like, you get to team up with Connor for a bit, like one mission is like, yep. Connor's there, Aveline's there, they're doing their like team up assassin thing. I was like, oh man, I was like, why didn't they make this effing game of just like, you're, I mean, I guess Unity, or not Unity, Syndicate is like the two siblings, but yeah, like, the cross-game team-up, man, that'd be awesome, but whatever, so...
Yeah,
that was a fun,
I think
fun
everything after ride. 3, you are you, and the character in the Animus is just,
not
like,
Desmond.
Someone that you're researching as... Or you are the character in the Animus, and then you are experiencing this stuff as the user.
I mean, I guess...
So it doesn't do anything as far as, like, the play on, like, memory and genes after the 3rd game?
It does, but it's, like, it's not... There isn't a central character in the future that you are playing as.
Because
like, you are yourself.
At the end of 3, so...
Yeah,
so
like...
So it kind of, like, abandons that, like, arc of, like, being a lineage of the assassins, like Desmond was?
Yeah, your person is not necessarily...
That was, like, the only good... Like, one of the only good things about them.
They kind of, you know, screwed it when they killed him. So, I mean... Because
in Black Flag, like, every time you're outside of the Animus, you're... It's all first person.
Office, right?
Yeah, and you're in the office. And you're just, like, researching past peoples. And I guess, like, Abstergo got a bunch of DNA from somewhere. And, like, it's a mystery. And you're just, like, going through it all. Like, that's what you guys are. Like, you're going through... Basically, you're looking through records is what you're doing.
Which, I mean, if that was the case, that kind of, like, invalidates having Desmond in the first place. Because, like, well, why didn't you
have one, yeah.
Like, in the first place? It's like, well, yeah.
It's like, oh, that was an amazing plan. We would just make these games about you guys and milk it for all it's worth. And we're Ubisoft, actually, the Templars, you know, if you didn't figure that out, you know. Super meta, but yeah. And now you guys just like give us millions of dollars every year when we like, pump out these terrible games. But hey, it's cool. So we took the year off this year. Not really, because there's a mobile game. Hey, nobody knows. So yeah. Oh, Assassin's Creed. You had potential way back in the day.
Yeah. I'm still playing a ton of them right now.
I mean, I don't have the hate like Tropical thought I would for, like, you know, Assassin's Creed. I did enjoy this one, because Evelyn's a cool character, she does some cool stuff, she got this cool hair, she has this cool outfit, and then, like, it's cool, like, when she goes to Connor in, like, the North, it's all cold, she has, like, this fur on her, like, oh, I'm in the cold, wintry North, oh, and it's like, oh, that's cool, so I very much enjoyed her costume design the entire time. She had, like, the lady at the ball outfit, the slave outfit, the assassin's outfit, like, two different versions, that was awesome. It's cool. It's pretty cool. And, yeah.
Nice.
The setting was done nice. But it gets so weird at the end. It's like, what? It's just... effing it up, Assassin's Creed. Every effing time. Seriously. It's like, now I remember. It's like, yeah. It's like, yeah. Maybe I never will finish it because I don't want to have this terrible taste in my mouth again.
Don't.
Because every effing time. But then I kind of wanted to do because I was like, I never got to play as Connor, but then you get to team up with him. And I was like, that's why I never remember when I never got past the prologue. I was super bored. I was like, where's the Native American dude? This is the Native American dude.
Well, Connor's not really that interesting of a character himself, though, so, I mean...
And that's the other cool thing, I was like, oh yeah, Black Heritage Month, yeah, and I get to team with another minority, oh yeah, double minority power, yeah, that's great.
Double minority power.
All the oppressed peoples of America. At the height of their oppression.
Yep.
America.
I did very much enjoy it, though, so yeah, not... And like I said last week, I was like, I completely forgot it was on Vita, because I was like, this doesn't look bad for a PSP game. Oh, it's on Vita, so decent up port of a Vita game, so yeah. If you know that, check it out. And then I also played and finished Plus 2 this week. Remember Me, a amazing game that should be played by many people. I was very late to the party on this one, and I gotta say, I'm kind of sad, because it was effing awesome. Like... The fashion design in the game, of, like, the clothes everybody's wearing, like, it's all super futuristic-y, and then, like, the architecture, it's like, so subtle, but so good, but, like, then I didn't have the music on, so I'm not sure if there's, like, cues where, like, you're doing stuff, and it just, like, goes, like, oh, like rising motion music, of, like, of, like, horns or strings or something, because, like, there's this part when you're, like, you're below ground for, like the most of the beginning, and, like, you come above ground, and, like, you see these, like, canals are flooded with water, so it's, like, obviously global warming, ooh! And then, like, you see, like, just, like, the cool, like, slums that they're in France, Paris, whatever, and then, like, you're just, like, going through the streets, and then all of a sudden it's, like, oh, there's the Louvre, and, like, all these other crappy-looking buildings around it, and it's, like, wow, that's that's pretty cool. Just, like, within the slum, there's this amazing piece of architecture, and then, like, it just gets better. It kind of was, like, a combination of, like, that and, that city in Deus Ex Human Revolution, Shanghai, it wasn't Shanghai, it's something, not like Shanghai.
It was Shanghai, wasn't it? Are you sure?
It's not Shanghai, it's pronounced something. It's not
pronounced something. Well then, glad to know that was the case.
How did they spell it?
It wasn't Shanghai, I don't remember. I'm looking it up.
ING?
Yes. Just like that. Welcome to Aimless Podcast, everyone.
Okay, but wow, where was I going with that? So there's other regions of the city that you get to go to, and like there's this one that's like way above the city, so it made me like remember that city because it's like a city upon a city, because it's like all the high higher class people like above the like lower class citizens, and it was just like that, and then like they have this like sweet view, and like there's this cube thingy, and it was awesome. I was like, oh man, the flipping like environmental designs and like the atmosphere in that game were just so good. It was just like, man, I feel so bad like for like playing it so late. And then, like, Nilan herself is just, like, an awesome character because she just like, kicks ass and it's like, man. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of things about this game. Like, I felt really bad, like, playing it now because it's, like, I wish I could have talked about it before to be like, man, this game's awesome. But, like, I don't have to be part of the zeitgeist, so epic gamer, or Sega gamer.
Well, gamer, he actually did play because I watched his stream when he was
playing.
Yeah,
he played it back in the day.
And,
we'll make our own zeitgeist.
It's cool because, like, there's, like, the combat in the game... Like, the way that it's structured, you can... Okay, so you have... I can't remember what they're called. They're called Pressons, I think. And you have the combat one. You have the get your health up one. You have the get your abilities back one. And you have the chain or link thingy one. And so you can combine those into a like, combo string. And then depending on what you do, it'll get you your stuff back. But each ability is basically really good to do something. So basically, if you have like the combat ones, they'll let you mind or memory overload enemies faster, and then the health ones just heal you faster, and like your skills get up with the skill faster one. It's not called skill faster. I just don't know what it's called. Whatever. So, and then like the link chain thingies give you more bang for your buck on the other three, pretty much. And like the further you put them into a combo, the like more they give you back. So yeah. And so it's pretty cool because it's basically at first I was like, oh, this isn't like Batman Arkham combat, but it's not meant to be like that, because it's basically you have to juggle, like, you know, how do I approach this situation? Do I want to be like super aggro and then like overload people's memories all the time, or like do I want to be able to take a beating and then like still kill myself and then still, you know, take a punch and give a punch? And then later on, they introduce enemies that you can't directly attack them. You have to use your... I can't remember what they're called. But you have these abilities where basically once your focus meter or whatever it's called... I don't remember the mechanics.
Way to pay attention.
There's too many, dude. There's, like, towards the end, I was like, yeah, whatever. They, like, introduce, like, a bunch, like, way later. Whatever. Anyway, so it's like once you build your focus meter up a certain way, you can, like, use some special ability, and there's, like, 5 or 6 of them. Because there's the stun everybody, go into rage mode one. It's not called that.
Yeah. I think we guessed that much.
There's like this virus one where you can like infect robots and they'll kill themselves and other people. Invisibility, where you can like instantly take down someone. And there's the bomb one where you can just like stick a bomb to someone. Oh, it's a logic bomb. You like stick it to somebody and like it explodes and does like a ton of damage on them and like surrounding enemies. It's pretty awesome and useful. So that's cool. And so basically it's what it does is like, it's a, you have to basically like decide how you're playing when you're playing of like, how am I going to take out the enemy groups and like what's most effective against some enemies? Cause there's a certain point where it introduces enemies where you basically can't attack them directly. They have these shields on them and you can attack them, but like when you attack them, you take damage yourself. So if you just keep attacking, you're going to die. Cause you have this ability at the time called the spammer, which is this projectile gun thingy. And so you can, like, shoot that, and it'll damage them, but you'll take damage, too. And, like, if you do that and you kill them, you have, like, a sliver of health. So it's, like, not the best option. But it's annoying because, like, they don't give you the invisibility thingy until sometime after that encounter that you're actually fighting them. So you can't, like, just instantly go up and, like, invisible mindjack them. So that's kind of annoying, but I got past it, so whatever. And then, that's the other thing. Oh my gosh, like, the memory remixes in this game, like, there's not very many, but I gotta say, like, it was, like, some of the coolest stuff that, like, in a cyberpunk game of, like, that, on that scale of, like, doing some sort of, like, dive into somebody's, like, cyber ghost or, like, cyber brain hacking, like, in Ghost of the Shell. I was, like, legit, like, oh man, this feels like I'm Motoko Kusanagi. After I did the first one, I was like, dude, this game is, like, does not get enough love. This game is, like... I don't know who hasn't played this game, but more people need to play this game because it's effing amazing and it has like so many cool mechanics. It's like the list of things that like this game does awesome that is like cool about it is just like so long, and like the things it does bad is like so few. It's like the platforming is a bit but like it's not terrible. It's not like, oh, this is the worst ever, or just like,
I don't think anybody ever said it was bad though. I think it got like pretty like good reviews. It just wasn't like perfect.
It's just like, man, I just felt like so sad for this game. When I played, I was like, man, what an overlooked gym, because it was so good. It was just like, man, and then like the way it ends is like, it's like it doesn't leave it open to a sequel, but it's like I kind of feel bad because like you can totally see they could have made like another one, but it's like it's Don't Nod and they made Life is Strange and it was a success. So it's like if they ever want to go back, and I totally looked it up on Wikipedia and they're like, oh yeah, if we ever wanted to, we could totally. And they said something about like sequel, blah blah blah, but stuff with Capcom, blah blah blah. So it's like, if it ever happens, it could happen, but whatever, I don't care. It's like, so, whatever. It was awesome. This game is amazing and incredible, and you should check it out and play, and I'm so sad I didn't play before. I mean, it was on my list of stuff, like, games to play, obviously, in my backlog. But...
Wait, wasn't it free at one point?
Yeah,
it was a PS Plus game.
Yeah.
Because I think so. I downloaded it, and I was like, I'm totally going to play this, because Gamer played it, and then I never played it, because I was like, I don't want to play this. So,
they could call it Remember Me Too, but the two would look kind of like a question mark, so it's like a question.
Like, do you remember me? Don't you forget about me. Haha, song reference.
It's also funny because there's like when they like talk in the game because the whole Simpson thing with that they had it's super. Oh, that is the other effing amazing thing in like the game is like you feel like you're in the effing future because like all the menus that like in the world are augmented, like they're like text on top of things, so it's like it doesn't ever like explain that like oh everybody has 3D vision now, but it doesn't need to say it because it's like so cool the way it does it of like everything is like the interfaces and everything are just like popping out at you and like there's text overlaid over everything and just like ah oh, it's so good. And then like
everybody has 3D vision now. So.
I just was about to say technically.
So. I mean like there's like AR stuff going okay, on. Okay. It's like everything is like popping out of stuff and it's like if there's like surface. Or not Surface, or whatever that thing Microsoft's doing, if, like, that was HoloLens. Everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah, if, like, if everyone had, like, HoloLens vision, it was super cool. It was, yeah, it's, like, another reason why I'm just in love with the game is just, just play it and you'll know. I'm just like, oh, this is why Tekken was gushing all over this, because there's, like, there's robots everywhere, too, and, like, they never say anything, but super, like, what's that word called? Opposite, explicit, implicit, when it's, like, oh, there's just robots just doing all the crappy chores humans would do, but we have robots now, so they just do that, herp, derp, derp, and it's like, they never, like, ever go into, like, oh, like, you know, detail about it, but it's, like, super cool, it's just, it's in there, and it makes sense, because it's the future, and it's like, ah, oh, this game, yeah, this game, ah, oh, yeah, I love this game, so, you know, I think I'm just gonna, like, stop. I completely forgot what I was going with, like, what I was about to talk about, so, whatever, but... Oh, that's what it was. They have, like, these plugs on the back of their necks, like, in the Matrix, and it's, like, all holographified when, like, the stuff is interfacing with it, and it's super cool. Whatever, just... If you're a fan of Cyberpunk, just do yourself a favor and play this game, because you'll appreciate it, and you'll enjoy it, and there's some parts that are kind of hard to get through, but if you get through them, so good, and the boss fights are amazing. Yeah, I can't say enough good about this game. I played it, and I was like, wow, I feel terrible for not having played this yet. I did buy it, though, so... And I'm glad DotNot didn't close down and Life is Strange was a success so they can make more awesome games. Oh, that's the other weird thing. It's like, well, this is just like a weird aside. I'm done after this. But like, they had like one character in the game that looks very similar to one of the Life is Strange character models that's like a total bitch. And I was like, man, this looks just like that lady. And then like, you do something bad to her. And I was like, oh, she got her comeuppance in this one. So that was great. But yeah, Life is Strange. Oh, Nolan. Oh, so good. So good. Yeah.
So we should play Remember Me?
Oh, yeah, you should.
I don't know if I'm convinced. I don't know, guys. I don't feel like we should play this game. Didn't sound like you liked it enough. I don't know.
What else did I play? Final Fantasy IV. I got past the part I was stuck on. The part when you fight the four fiends, like, in succession. That was not a fun time, because it's weird, I didn't know it was coming, so I didn't, like, there's, like, one of those little save pods, and I, like, didn't know it was there, and I was, like, trying to run away, because the enemies were getting tough, and I just, like, walked into it and got destroyed, and that was not a fun time getting back to that part, but luckily it was, like, a mini dungeon, because you're in this part where you have to fight this, like, Babel monster that comes down that I can't say what happens because stuff goes down and it's like, oh, revelations. Oh, I didn't. Oh, it's like, I can, like, I've been playing this game. I can see why it is so beloved because it's like, stuff is like always happening in this game. I'm only like 20 something hours in. I'm not even like 30 hours in. And it's like, every couple hours, it's like, oh. It's like, it's awesome. It's just like, it's like, yeah, if this is like a graph of a game, it's just like, cool. Ooh. It just like keeps building. It keeps building. And like something just happened. It's like, I didn't see that coming. It's just like, it just keeps going. It's like a 45 degree slope up. And just like the whole time. And just, man, I don't even know. It's like you're on the moon now. Stuff's going down. You just had this thing be told to you of like, oh, you can't let that happen because that thing there, stuff bad, bad thingies and stuff. And yeah, it just, Syphil and the gang. But then I'm stuck again because I was playing and then like we got past this part and then it was like this cutscene of like all the stuff of like, you know, oh well, I'm actually your bleep larp larp and stuff happened and then that it's like there and then like two people go off and they're like, okay, we'll be waiting for you at the ding dong hong and I'm like,
they lied.
Wait, how do I get to there? And, like, I was like, wait, how do I it's like they don't explain how to get there because usually they're like, oh, go to the Northwest Cave or the Southwest Island or some direction and place combination of how do you get the thing you need to go do to do the next thing, and they didn't say it, they're just like, oh, we'll be waiting for you at the bleep larp, and I'm like, how do I get to the bleep larp? And then,
at the bleep larp,
time to look up a guide, because I was like, I've been to like every town looking for them, of like, is this where the bleep larp's at? Nope, it's not, and then can't find them, so yeah. But I'm enjoying this one and seeing why so many people enjoy it, because oh, also Edge, dude, he's like effing ninja, and like yes. He's a prince, yeah, and he throws shurikens. That was awesome. That was cool.
You sure they're not called shurikens, by the way?
Shuriken, whatever, I don't care. Ninja Stars, he's like, you're here, like, y'all, like, run up on him. He's fighting one of the four fiends. He's like, I got this. He doesn't have it. And he joins your party. It's like, oh, yeah, he's got a ninja on my team. Awesome.
He doesn't stay.
Shut up, RPG.
Revenge.
That's the cool thing about this one. Is like, I could, like, after playing this one, and then, like, after having played, like, or, like, I guess when I came to the series, like, 7, 8, 9, or, like, 7, 8 anywhere, I could see, like, why people were, like, I kind of went, like, an old one, like, 9, and I could see, like, why people like 9 so much, because when you, like, you go into the menu, like, you can see everybody's, like, job of, like, oh, this person's a ninja, this person's a paladin, I don't care if I say it wrong, whatever, this person's a dragoon, this person's a summoner, white mage, black mage, whatever, it's like, oh, it's all party-based, but you know, whatever, so that's cool, yeah. Did I play anything else this week? I think that's it. That's all I played, and that's where I'm at in Final Fantasy IV. I got the magical alien ship. It's not an alien ship. It's some weird ship that was, like, ginormous. We found it. We got it working, and, I'm using it to go places and stuff, and there's a giant crystal in it that powers it, and it's like, ooh, crystal-powered, so that's a thing.
Everything's
so.
Crystal-powered. It's Final Fantasy. Everything's crystal-powered. It's like a thing.
And yeah, there's the sweet long cutscene where stuff happened, but I was like dozing off, and I just like, but luckily I stayed before it, so I can like rewatch it. So yeah, that's all I've been playing. Oh,
are you sure?
But remember me, guys. Remember me.
Don't forget.
Go
it.
Out and play it.
Don't forget it at all.
The effing stuff.
Gotta remember him. Remember.
I might just replay it again on my channel and pull up in like little snippets, and not just a giant long, ginormous stream of like each stage and stuff because it's so good.
So good.
So bad.
So good.
Oh, that's the other thing, that's New Game Plus. Well, I don't know if it has New Game Plus, but, like, after I finished it, it was like, would you like to start again? And I was like,
hell
maybe,
no.
But then I didn't know if it carried over all my stuff, so I guess we'll see, and then, yeah. Of course, I deleted it, so I had to re-download it now to check that, but hey, it's Remember Me, so it's worth it.
Haha, you remembered it, get it, because Remember Me.
Remember you later. That's such a, that was so, yeah, that was a great, yeah. It was so neat how they did that.
Was it?
Or, like, they'd be talking to him, be like, remember you soon, when they, like, leave somebody. It's pretty cool. It's a little greeting slash opposite of greeting.
Wow.
There's a word I was going to say. I can't remember what it's called.
Get it together.
Farewell, yeah. It wasn't farewell, but it was something else. But farewell works. So, yeah. So, RPG Chapter Cool. Who wants to go next?
I guess that's me then. So Street Fighter V we went through. I started to finish off Transformers Devastation. So the game is longer than I thought.
Yay.
Also it's really cool. The game I seriously doubt that the original Transformers TV series had this kind of action.
It did not. I can already guarantee that.
But it feels so natural now. It's weird. Because when I first saw Devastation's trailers, I sort of thought that it was kind of strange. Because Transformers do not strike me as, you know, Platinum Games style action characters where they're doing a lot of punching and kicking and flipping and transforming into cars and then transforming back to do more kicks and stuff. It's like.
Michael Bay movies are kind of like that, though.
Are they?
Because, like, there's, like, quite a few moments where they're, like, transforming mid-fight and stuff and doing, like, punching and all that nonsense that they were doing in, like, highway battles and crap.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was that part. Well, I mean, this doesn't seem like that either. But, yeah, like...
Oh, you mean it's not terrible? Yeah.
Fair enough. It felt unnatural, and we've had the, what were they called? Something-something for Cybertron.
Or for Cybertron.
Games.
All of Cybertron. Oh, yeah, the of Cybertron games. Yeah.
So, but yeah, now that I've played it more, I'm on Chapter 3 now. It's like, it's actually really cool, and it feels pretty natural. I mean, there is that scene in the original where Optimus Prime has that, like, glowing axe hand thing. But the action doesn't look like this. But now that I've seen a lot of him playing, like, this feels really good. It just, it seems to fit, like, the doubt in my mind is totally gone, which is, that's impressive.
You had doubt in your mind?
I had doubt in my mind for this one. I thought it would be really short. I thought it'd be, I mean, I have Legend of Korra. I thought it'd be like that.
Kind of cool what we say about Legend of Korra. Okay. It's but, just the first one. After your foot's in the door, the awesomeness flows.
I guess through. That's true. Because, yeah, like, this doesn't just take place in the one setting that you've seen in the trailers. There's other settings. I was like, oh. And I just unlocked Grimlock, but I have no idea how to play as him. Because he plays actually really differently. He doesn't turn into a car. So you can't.
That is true.
You can't do the. You can't play it the same way. You gotta, like, mash circles to run faster. Combat itself. So the normal combat is very similar to things like Bayonetta. I think all of their games have a similar system where it's just, if you dodge at just the right time, then time slows down and you can get in a bunch of hits.
Well, that almost sounds like DMC.
Does DMC have that too? Maybe.
It has a, there's like a perk you can get to do that kind of thing for counterattacks.
But yeah, it feels really good. And you still have guns and stuff. They're just not as,
satisfying.
Sort of essential to the whole thing.
You like robot punching? Is that what's going on?
Yes. The robot punching and kicking is really cool. And it looks really good. And then, yeah, like, so in addition to the combat, there's, like, driving sections. And there's, there's way more variety than I thought there would be. So I'm looking forward to finishing that at some point.
Yay.
Beyond that, I played a whole bunch of Guns Up this week.
I don't know what that is.
That's the free-to-play game on PS4 where it's like,
yeah.
It's basically Clash of Clans.
Double you.
He just continues. I don't know what's happening right now. I don't know what's happening.
I like it. It's fun. It's
no.
You build up your base.
Stop lying. Drop
go out and raid other people's bases.
Stop it.
And you try to raid them as efficiently as possible. And I'm just trying to unlock all of the different units that you can get. And because it's sort of the free to play model, if you don't want to pay any money, then you have to grind a lot. So I've been grinding, but the grinding itself is pretty fun. Unlike Destiny, where you can grind and never know what you're going to get, this one, you're always working. As long as you're grinding, you're getting closer to to everything. Whereas, yeah, with Destiny, it's a crapshoot.
You hear this, Bungie? You're getting beat by a free-to-play game. Be ashamed of yourself. Just be ashamed of yourself.
And yeah, they've just done so many little things that are very clever, and they make every part of the game feel worth playing, I guess. So you raid other people's bases. Building your base is important because they added another part where it's like there's like AI attacks that you actually get to actively defend against. And so, you know, that's one, and they're like adding more and more waves to that, so there's just more and more variety of things to defend against. And then there's also an endless mode where you just defend until the base can't hold on any longer. And the longer you can defend, the better prizes you can get. And, you know, that goes into the grinding thing, and that gives you gold or whatever resource that you want, and then you can build more stuff and go raid bigger bases. And I'm trying to work my way up to raiding really crazy player bases, but I haven't been able to get that yet because it takes a lot of currency to get the stronger units. And yeah, I hear they're adding new units, and they're going to be adding even more stuff. So that's free-to-play has been doing the thing as, like, games as a platform for a while.
Actually, I was going to say that, but, like, when you said it, it made me think, because I saw this video before the podcast of Marvel Heroes, they finally added controller support.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, does that mean it's coming to PS4? And then, like, in the video, they have a Steam controller. I was like, oh, so close. Curses. Not the right controller. But that means I can get a Steam controller now and check it out.
So. Yeah. I feel like playing that one now because, man.
They've, like, constantly been upgrading, like, updating that game, like, since it came out. And, like, it's completely different. And, like, every time I go back to play it, it's, like, so different. I still haven't got Cyclops, though, so.
And keyboard.
Reason to grind.
Keyboard and mouse is so much more strenuous than just laying back with the controller.
Yep.
So.
Controllers are
cool. So yeah, guns up. My goal, so I think what it is, what I should do for now is my goal should just be to get all the trophies. And the last trophy that I'm missing is level 25. So once I reach level 25, I'm going to quit Guns Up until they put in new trophies. Otherwise, I mean, seriously, I could play this forever. It's one of those games. Like Heroes of the Storm. As an aside, like, yeah, I've been, we'll get to it, but I've been researching backlog stuff. And I think that is a topic now that we can all talk about. Right, RPG?
Shut up.
No. Seeing as you still have 0 points on the board, oh.
In my defense, my games have been trolling me this year, so I don't know what's going on, but it's cool. It's cool.
Question for the scoreboard, does finishing Street Fighter story mode count?
credits didn't roll, so no.
I don't think that, because
the credits got to roll.
It has to trigger the credit roll sequence, or in like the part when the part on the screen where it says congratulations or thanks for playing, and like the credits roll, and it's all like yeah, stuff happens, and music's playing, and it's like yeah, you feel good about yourself because it's the end, which means you've reached the end and finished the game.
Wait, but don't you get credits anytime you beat like the story with the character? You get credits.
Oh, that was arcade, like old style arcade mode. Yeah. This one doesn't have that.
Oh.
The game the ending is not in the game yet.
It doesn't exist yet. So you could technically never beat the game. Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure you can click, there's a button that says credits, I think.
That's cheating.
Yeah, that's cheating. That's like no gameplay effort required. It's like, oh, credit roll. Yeah. But that's not the thing.
I watched the credit roll. It cost me $60.
Yeah.
I think that's all I've been playing. So, RPG.
Sigh. Just sigh.
Games are hard, right?
No, they aren't. They're just long for no reason. So anyways, I've been playing, I started playing Paper Jam again, because I kind of realized that Fire Emblem was coming out this Friday, and I was like, okay, gotta have to play something, because otherwise...
Piling up!
So, I was playing, and it's like...
I know where this goes.
It's happening. But, yeah, so far, I haven't, like, really done much in it. Like, they got, like, a new trio ability, so now... Because I think, like, a lot of the puzzles are kind of, like, built around, like, the combination of the paper puzzles and the normal RPG puzzles. So it's, like, all of their stuff is, like, built around Paper Mario doing, like, these weird things with his body for them to, like, use him as like a, like the new move they got is called like the something, it's like the trio grab or something, and like he rolls himself up and then they like throw Mario on top of him as like kind of like a fishing line kind of thing. So you use that to like get out of the dungeon that you're in, and at the same time apparently the Peaches are also trying to launch their escape plan because Princess Peach, she says she's tired of getting kidnapped, so I guess she's gonna just save herself too. And then Paper Peach is like, don't worry, I got this. And then she pulls a cardboard cutout of herself out of I don't know where, because she's literally made out of paper, so she can't have pockets anywhere. So I don't even know, man. I don't even know. I just, this game is just getting weird, and it's happening. And then I just finished up a boss fight with the two of the Koopa kids, and it was like a super annoying boss fight. And it's like, I don't remember any of the previous either paper games or the Mario and Luigi RPGs having like... Like, it seems like in this game, there's, like, a lot of annoying dodge windows for a lot of stuff. Because, like, when you fight, it's, like, it's not just, like, you pick your attack and or you just, like, defend or something. Like, you have to actually be button-pressing during it because you have to, like, jump over attacks or guard against them and stuff like that. So, it's, like, there's a lot of, like, very frustrating windows in this one for some reason. Because, like, in the boss fight... what's her name? I think it's Wendy. Is that one? The giant boat. Yeah. She has like this, she has like a couple of attacks. Like one is like where she does like these magic rings that you kind of have to like jump into or out of, and like it's just weird, and it's like they have a lot of attacks that are just like really frustrating. I'm like, ah, this is, I don't remember it being this annoying when I was playing the previous games. So it's like there's like a lot of them that are kind of meh, so it's kind of irritating. But I beat them and I was like, yay, we're done. I don't ever have to fight you kids again, hopefully, because you guys suck. So I'm kind of just kind of making my way through that right now, and paper crafts and fun stuff, which reminds me, I never actually built the paper crafts that came with the game that you get for pre-ordering. They're all kind of just sitting over there unfolded and not papered or something. So
no,
because I can make my own paper craft battles and like throw them at each other and be like, yeah, it's just like in the game, guys, it's just like in the game. So I'll build them eventually. The only other game I've been playing is Cyber Sleuth. So I mean, I've been
seeing you tweet a lot of screenshots from the game, and I'm like, is he not done yet? Is he not done yet? Because I guess you're not done yet.
It's not. Well, that's what I said. Like, I feel like I probably would have been done with this game like forever and a day ago. But see, I keep like, I'll be playing, and then I'm like, well, there is another, because like I'm like, most of my Digimon are all like at mega level now at this point, but it's like, there's so many other Digimon I want, and there's so many of them in the game. So I'm like,
gotta get your ball.
I have to get all of them, because it's like, that's how this works. So it's like, all of them so far have like been in the, and that's the great thing too, because it's like, they're all there. They're all there. So it's like, oh my God, I have to get this, because it's like, I already got all the ones from season one. I ended up getting all the DNA Digivolved ones from season two. And then it's like, okay, I already got all the season three ones, but the season four ones aren't in there, because in that season, like, the kids actually turned into the Digimon. So it didn't, like, they don't have that in the game, but it's like, they do have their villains, which I do have. I have the villain from that one so far, but I haven't Digivolved until like its final form. And then I got all the season five ones. So I'm like, I have like everybody. I just have to get all the villains now. So now I'm working on getting all the villains. And it's like, it's never going to end. It's never going to end. It's never going to end. Like, I've spent so many hours. And part of me feels like, I feel like I'm not even supposed to be allowed to get some of these things in my first playthrough, because there is a new game plus for the I feel like I should probably not be getting all these things, but it's like, you know what? It's happening. I'm doing it. So yeah, I've just been gathering them all, and I think I'm like on chapter 15 now or something, but it's like, I've just spent so much time not playing through the story and just getting Digimon, and I'm like, this is just great, because it gives me that nostalgia, because I'm like, oh my God, Digimon, guys, Digimon, this is my show back in the day, and now they're coming out with the revival thingy, so I'm watching that now, and I'm like, this is great, it's Digimon everywhere, so it's the greatest. So it's just, yeah. So I'm probably never going to finish this game, because I'm not playing it. So I mean, doing it all wrong, guys. So, but I think I'm like, I mean, I think I only have like one more Digimon left that I actually want, and then I can go ahead and like actually play through it. Because I think I'm on my way to getting all the villains from the first season too. So it's like, I have most of them. I just need to have all of them. And then once I do, then I can play through the game, and it'll be fine. And then I can finish it, and we can pretend like none of this ever happened. And I can move on with my life. At least until I decide to go through the new game plus or something, or any of the post-game missions. So we shall see. Yeah. But yeah, pretty much all I've been playing.
Alrighty, I guess one more thing before we move on to Tropical's magical quest. Mystery dungeon. Is that, I think another thing I really, like, remember me is it kind of was like that one episode of Dark Mirror where, like, you mess with your memories, and it's just, like, I had seen Dark Mirror before I played this game, so, like, playing this game was kind of, like, a, like, alternate scenario of that the entire time of, like, don't F with your memories, dude, because, yeah, that's why you don't do it, man. Just let it go.
That's, like, one of my episodes. I don't know, man. That's Twisted Series. I enjoyed that. Although, I don't think people would, like, in real life would ever, like, volunteer for stuff like that, though. Like, hey, everything's
like,
the implant.
This is all like, oh, well, this isn't exactly remembering everything. It's just, like, going in and effing up memories so that you could do stuff to people or have these weird outcomes. And, well, I guess only Nilin can do that, so, or, yeah, so. She's the only one that, like, has the power to remix memories, but there's consequences. Or as Spider-Man says, great power responds great responsibility. So, luckily she's not all whoop-dee-doop-dee with it.
As far as you know, anyway.
As far as I know, yeah.
Because, I mean, you only play, like, a part of her life. she could have been very, very irresponsible with her powers before or after. Like, maybe in the sequel, they explore that, the consequences of having that kind of power. It messes with your mind.
Oh, yeah, they could do that. But she seems like she's a paragonal, just as a voting type, so I don't know.
Those are always the ones. Those are always the ones. They're like, yeah, I'm upstanding, and then all it takes is that one little spark, and it's like, yep, humanity needs to be destroyed.
I guess that's the other cool thing, is like, when I just like this one, actually, no, I think it was more Assassin's Creed Liberation. It had the subtitles on the whole time, so it's like, there's a lot of French in that one, because they're in Louisiana and New Orleans, and like, I learned some words. I was like, I didn't know what Sacre Bleu meant before, but I know what it means now, so that's cool. And like, every time someone would say oui, it'd be like, yes, in parentheses. I was like, I knew that one. So yeah. It was great. Fun time. So tropical, what's the question this week?
The request.
Tropical's request.
Alright, so, let's say, I think that's a good example. Do you remember that, I don't remember what the game was called, but there was footage of a game that looked clearly inspired by Uncharted, but also, like, of a lower quality of Uncharted? Not Tomb Raider. No, it came out of, like, I think it was coming out of India. Someone in India was making it.
Oh, also, I looked up the place in Deus Ex, it's Hangzhou. Not Shanghai.
So it's just, like, basically the word, like, chopped up.
Yeah, my friend went to Shanghai, but I'm like, it's not Shanghai. It has letters in that word, but yeah,
all words are other words chopped up.
Shanghai with an H.
So this one's more like
Hangzhou.
It's like you probably would have actually got it had you just like tried to like play with the Shanghai word or something. You'd be like, all right, just Hangzhou, that works.
So yeah. Anyway, like. Consider, there's Uncharted, and then there's, like, a B-tier Uncharted.
Like
we have...
Discovered or something?
Sure. Whatever you want to call it. Unmapped.
Discovery. I love you, Square.
Oh, man. We have, you know, a limited amount of time in the day, on Earth, what have you. Limited amount of money. Is there value in playing B-tier games?
Yeah.
Depends on the game. Or if there's like a drought in your genre or something, and you're like, yep, well, this is going to have to do for now.
Also, like, the tone. Like, so one might be, like, super serious, and there's like, yay, we're so whimsical, fun times, woohoo!
So you
kind of like Gears of War and Transformers of Cybertron. It's not all like the locusts, and we have chainsaws on our guns, and it's all bloody, and we cut everything in half, and it's just blah 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 war all the time. Humanity is ending, blah blah. I mean, it's kind of downer for Cybertron too, but it's not all like, geez, Marcus Fenix, geez, Dom, have some fun and like transform into a car or something, and like fly through the sky as a plane, cause you're Starscream, yeah. Or, like, rip up some Decepticons because you're Grimlock, and, like, yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, my.
In that case, Cybertron is the B-tier game?
Yeah. Way less money you spend, I'm sure, on that game.
Huh.
Although, I don't know, because I actually like Transformers.
Well, so RPG, you were saying that if there's a drought in your genre, does that mean if there are... thousand, like, just tons and tons of A-tier games, then it's not worth playing the B-tier games?
No. No.
Because if you have limited time, right,
mm-hmm.
Why would you go play games that are not A-tier? If there are enough A-tier games, you know, you do the math, there's enough A-tier games to fill up all of your free time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there value in playing B-tier games?
Yes, as palate cleansers. Because, I mean, you can only have so much AAA in your life before it's like, okay, I need a break from awesome. And I just want not awesome stuff to play. Or slightly less awesome, I should say, not awesome, because I mean, B-tier games can still be good, they just aren't like A-tier or something. Reasons.
As a palate cleanser.
Like, yeah.
How, why can't you have awesome all the time? Let's say the awesome games are all extremely varied, and they're all awesome.
Well, in that scenario, you could have awesome all the time. You just would constantly be switching up what you're playing.
Yeah. So let's say in that situation, then do the B tier games then lose all value to be played?
No. I mean, if I have interest in the game, I'm still going to play it.
Still need your palate cleanser. You still need a tropical.
And they might not be as zany and whimsical as the B tier stuff and just like super serious all the time. Ugh.
Interesting. Well, that's the interesting.
Like Prince of Persia. What happened after that first game? It was all. Ugh. Meanwhile, there's way other third person games are like not doing that. It's like, let's have a fun time.
Wait, which Prince of Persia are you talking about?
The first trilogy on PS2 era, where it was like, the first game was all like, oh, I'm going to tell you a story, it's a flashback style. And then the second one's like, what the F happened? All this rock music stuff, Evil Prince.
I like the second one, and the Evil Prince was in the third one also.
Oh, well, whenever that happened, and it was all like, what did you do to my happy-go-lucky prince and his stories?
He grew up.
Yep.
He grew up.
And then we got the shell-shaded one. It's like, haha, it's Nolan North. Slinging zingers all the time. Shell-shaded, yeah.
Oh, he voiced the prince? And of course he did.
Or didn't he?
Probably. It came out, it came out during
I don't remember.
He was like in every game ever. So, yeah. Like, he was like in every, actually in every game. In every game. Even in like bit parts. He was somehow in every game.
I kind of feel like the way I see it, like when I'm looking at, well, I guess not all the time.
Like,
it seems like the downloadable games are like they're not all B tier, but it's like they just seem like I'm trying to think of how to say this without like putting them all down. It's like I don't think they're lesser games. It's just the production values are just so high on AAA. Like when you go from that to like some downloadable game, it's kind of like the same analogy of like, oh, I'm trying to play this $15 game that's like a sweet fun romp.
Because are we talking about games that we consider B tier to our A tier stuff, or like, because I mean, like, how do you define it? Because like for me, I would consider like the Star Ocean series a B tier to like Final Fantasy, even though I play both and like I enjoy both some of the Star Oceans. So it's like I don't like, what would you qualify as like B tier games?
Yeah, it's just sort of like I think your analogy is correct. Like Final Fantasy compared to Star Ocean, like Star Ocean feels like a B tier game, and you know that's not meant to like disparagingly. It's just like it doesn't feel as polished. What I was saying at the beginning of the segment, there's Uncharted, and then there's the Indian adventure game that looks very clearly inspired by Uncharted, but they are not Naughty Dog, so you know it's not gonna be at that level of Uncharted polish. And so that's a B-tier game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess, to make the question more interesting, it's like, so closer to my example, you know, if you have two Final Fantasy games and a Star Ocean,
uh-huh,
and you only have time to play two games, do you play the two Final Fantasy games, or do you play a Star Ocean and a Final Fantasy? You know, like, with the adventure games, then it's like, you got Tomb Raider and Uncharted, and then you got Indian adventure games.
It's kind of like, it's like you have like two name brands and one off brand.
That's almost what it sounds like, right?
Like you have a Pepsi, Coke, and some generic soda sitting on the shelf.
Ritz.
But yeah, like in that scenario, like what makes? I think a lot of people would just be like, "Oh, I'll just play Uncharted and Tomb Raider, and who cares about the Indian adventure game?" Because I only have time to play two, so I have to fill up that time with the best stuff. I don't have time to play subpar things.
Which two Final Fantasy games is my follow-up to that question?
It's two new Final Fantasy games that you haven't played versus a new Star Ocean game that you haven't played. So, like, we have that, like, use it because it's remake of 7, and you wouldn't pick that one anyway.
Well, actually, I am like semi-interested in 7.
Oh, really? Okay, remake, so assuming that you are more enthusiastic about Final Fantasy 7 than you usually are, it's 15 and 7, and
Star Ocean 5.
Integrity and faithlessness or whatever it's called.
I just say 5. I don't even bother with their subtitles anymore. I don't have time for Square Enix and their shenanigans. I probably
And you can only play 2 of them.
I mean, I would probably, well, I mean, I liked Star Ocean 4 though, so I mean, I would probably play 5 just for the sake, because I mean, 5 looks gorgeous. And I mean,
like, why would you choose that one then?
I don't know, because it's pretty. I don't. I mean, it's weird. But I think, well, part of it from what I've seen so far, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, man. But I mean, the thing is though, with Star Ocean, it's like, it's different from, like, even though it's like kind of like a space Final Fantasy, it's like, it's kind of different. It's hard to explain, man, unless you've like played both series kind of thing. I don't know. I don't like you making me think, man. I don't like this. But, I think it kind of goes to, I don't know. Square Enix and Trice have very, like, different ways of how they handle things. So, I mean, I would probably choose a Final Fantasy and a Star Ocean if I had to only pick 2 out of the 3, though, simply because I would be curious as to what they did with the Star Ocean game, and obviously choose the Final Fantasy because, I mean, I enjoy the series, so obviously I'm going to choose to play one of them at least, so. But, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't think the question works as well on, like, specific games, because we have, I mean, first of all, we have sort of preformed opinions on them based on, you know, franchise past and, like, what we've seen of the future. And, you know, at our age, we're not really thinking about the end of our time on this planet. It's not like we're thinking, like, oh, I only have time to play these for the rest of my life.
This conversation is getting dark. I don't know how I feel about this.
But yeah, like, with, well, so Tekken, like, take sort of the spirit of that question.
And murder it.
Your 2 A-tier games and then a B-tier game. Okay. That is sort of, like, comparable to the A-tiers, but clearly, it's not, I guess, like, yeah, the defining characteristic is sort of the polish is not on the level of the other two. And you only have time to choose 2 of them, or play 2 of them.
See, in that case, it'd be like, here's some, a Telltale game, another Telltale game, and then some, like, other person that makes a choice-based adventure game, but they're not Telltale. It's like,
kind of like how Life is Strange, and then you have Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, I would choose a Telltale because it's effing Telltale, and they have yet to let me down. So, perfect track record is perfect, and can't fight perfection. So, sorry, B-tier, that's not Telltale, but you ain't Telltale, so you're not getting my money.
But what if they did something cool in the other game with, like, their mechanics?
That's what I was thinking when Tropical was, like, setting this up, was, like, well, like, the only thing that would, like, happen is if it had, like, some sort of, like, intangible to, like, make, like, draw me towards it of, like, robots, cyberpunk, futuristic space exploration, or, like, XYZ thing I like that's not in these other two, like, oh, this is something I like. I'm totally picking this because the other two don't have it, so. And, like, Telltale has no games with those things in them, so Telltale, if you could, like, you know, make a game with that stuff, that would be effing awesome.
But see, it's like, the question is actually sort of different from that, because, like, in the first example, Uncharted and Indian Adventure Game are basically the same game, except that one is less polished. And, you know, obviously they're going to have differences. And so it's like, if two games that similar, but, you know, have their differences because they're made by different people, you know, when do you, like, would you recommend that people should check out the B-tier game as well? You know, should people find time for B-tier games to sort of find those?
Well, yeah, because that's how you, like, you find the stuff that's like, oh, I would have never expected this game was awesome, but it was awesome. Like, I'm not going to say Mercenary Kings, but that's like, I guess just stuff in that vein of like, but I'm thinking like small downloadable stuff in that right now when I think about that. I was like, you know, the stuff that's like there, but like I don't play it, but it's super cheap and I buy it and it just sits in my backlog. And then I go back and play it and I'm like, oh, that was awesome. Because I remember me, I was like, oh, it was on sale one time, I bought it. for like years. I hadn't played it. I played it, blew my mind, and but then that wouldn't really be considered AAA though. So I don't know.
It's sort of like if you're a super fighting game fan, there's Street Fighter V
and everything,
and
else.
Then there's like Battle Fantasia or what's that new one, like Nitro Blaster Plus or something like that.
I think fighting games isn't a good example though, because it's like, you know, you kind of already have like your tastes when you're looking at something.
Well, I think that's the thing, because like with fighting games, it's like it goes down to like the style though, because there's some that's like more realistic type of combat, and there's some that's like over the top kind of craziness going on, and it's so some people would like pick out the other ones out of curiosity. It's like, well, I want to see what kind of crazy stuff they do with this fighting game. So,
Yeah, I feel like people actually don't do that. I think most people just look for, you know, they'll be taken in by the marketing, first of all. And then the marketing is usually like, our game is the best. Buy our game because it's the best. And, you know, the B-tier games aren't saying, we're the best. They're saying, hey, we do this thing that the big guys don't do. We do this thing that the big guys don't do. And most people will look and be like, well, I'm going to get the best one. And it just ends at that. So are we saying that that is the wrong way to do it?
I wouldn't necessarily say so, because if it's like your unique feature that you're doing that nobody else is doing, that's probably like the way to go about it. Otherwise, you just get lost in the shuffle of like, this game looks exactly like Uncharted, but it's not Uncharted.
Well, I'm saying from the consumer side. When the consumer says, I'm just going to buy the best ones. I have a limited number of days on Earth. I'm going to only play the best ones, and B-tier, you know, I understand that they exist, but I don't have the time. I must play all the best ones. Like, are those people missing out?
Well, yeah, they're missing out. But I don't think it's the wrong way to market your game.
Is it the wrong way to think about choosing games? It's a tough one. Two Telltale games set with robots and space adventure and cyberpunk and the other stuff you said. And then someone else making an adventure game with robots and cyberpunk, but made by different people, so they're all kind of different, but they all got that stuff. how do you choose?
But Traptical, it's Telltale, I can't go against them. That's like saying, oh, well, here's some Mass Effect game, here's Mass Effect Andromeda. Choose wisely, Tekken, because, you know, they totally probably have, like, the same quality Bioware has, like, writing these characters and scenarios in this game.
Do you look at the situation and be like, psh, BTA,
I can
get
objective at that
Telltale
point,
Tekken. Or that, do you say...
Bias is, like, completely a factor there. That is, like, not... There's, like, there's 0% no bias comes into that situation of, like, oh, let me give a second thought to this non-Telltale person making this game that's, like, this Telltale game.
All right.
They're already dead.
Less biased example, but still, same elements. Do you even give a thought to the B-tier game, or do you just go for the A-tier ones? And should people give a thought to the B-tier ones?
I mean, people should. I'd make a mental note of it and be like, whatever, but...
Don't let it to them, guys. F the B-tier.
Just like, I bought Styx, because it's like a stealth game, but it's got a troll in it, so whatever. I mean, I like stealth games, I just haven't played it yet. I'll get to it eventually. It might be awesome. It might not. Whatever. I need my stealth fix. I need to stab people in the face, like I've mentioned before.
Oh my.
Or it's already been stated in the podcast, so, you know. Even if I do it looking like a weird troll that sneaks around in, like, the medieval times or whatever the game said.
It has some unusual...
It could be awesome. There might be some, like, sweet troll vision or something. Who knows?
RPG, do you want to think some more? What's your take on that? Same situation... But with stuff that you like.
We should everything.
Like,
change.
Do you give a thought? So you do give thought to the...
Because the curiosity would always get the better of me. I'm like, hey, what if there's some awesome mechanics in this game? Why am I not playing it? Why aren't I playing it? And then be like, you know what? You're right, me. I should be playing this. Not sure why I'm not playing this. And then I had to play it.
Tekken?
Yes.
You were going to say something?
Oh, I was going to say, I think, like, my scenario in that every time would be, like, you know, I'm going to pick this game that's from the dudes I can trust that I love lovingly, but I'll make a mental note of you B-tier team game that's not by this amazing development studio that I've taken losses with and had many highs and lows, but they've never let me down, and I've enjoyed their work over years and years, so they totally have, like, you know, time on their side and stuff, so. I know I'm in good hands. You, not so much. I don't want to take a risk here. Tekken's not about taking risks. That's why he doesn't go outside very often, so, you know.
Well, let's say, alright, so, like, trying to get a measure on this level of thought that you would give to the B tier. Let's say you could give up something else, like sleep or eating. do you do that?
This is getting weird.
So that you can play all three games?
Much
value?
Current time Tekken doesn't, because he already has too many effing games to play. So at this point, no. It's like, well, I'll... See, that's why I wish there was a wishlist feature on the effing PSN store like it is on Steam. I could be like, wishlist, ding, and then it's like, when you're in sale, I will check you out, dude. But until then, I'll just make a mental note. If I forget, whatever. If I remember, I'll be picking you up in 12 months when you're $20. So, yeah.
Actually, on the app, there is a wishlist.
God damn it.
I think on the website, too. If you just click the little heart.
I never use the website.
And it adds the wishlist. But yeah, so we'll simplify, like, don't take your real life, because, you know, you're not dying in 2 days, or you're not dying in the time, the length of time that it takes to play two games. So simplified, like, you have your life, it has enough time to play two games and do the stuff you need to live, eat, sleep, whatever, and no work. So take all that, like, it's a very simplified life you have, and you can give up one of the life essential things, like some of the life. You know, you're not going to give up all sleeping, but you can give up a bunch of sleeping. Do you do that in order to play the B-tier game?
Yeah, but then if you do that, and, like, often enough, the B-tier game is terrible, like, you will just, like, completely write off B-tier games after a certain point.
Forever!
I've given up so much food and sleep for these B-tier games that are always terrible, unlike these amazing AAA polished games. Ugh, I'm never doing this again. That'd be my reaction. If that happened on a consistent basis.
Understandable.
Final thoughts, RPG?
I say give everything B and above a chance, anything below, no. F B tier.
B tier game.
F them in the B.
We should actually, like, rank it out, because I think what we established here is sort of A tier and B tier. The difference is polish and sort of production value. Actually, production value, I think it's more accurate. Less the polish thing. But yeah, it was off to a slow start, but I think we got the topic to where it got interesting, and the choices were hard. And so, listeners, like, what do you think? Do you give, like, is there value in B-tier games given limited time and the cost that you might have to give up to play them? Let us know. We would love to get some comments.
Or else. Because
I've never seen any.
Comments, or we'll find out where you live. You don't want that.
Yes, RPG does that.
I will find you. I will find you.
You always thought we were joking when we said we were under your bed. Ah-ha-ha, you only... And nobody does, because we didn't leave any witnesses or evidence.
Ah-ha. All right.
Just joking in the say, if you're listening. All just right. Joking.
Moving on to the news, then. It's pretty short this week, I guess. So we already mentioned Assassin's Creed. Like, they put out a message telling everyone that, hey, we're taking a break to make the next one better, presumably.
Goodness.
So that's happening, as far as we know. January MPTs came out. PlayStation was once again ahead.
Yay.
No surprise there. I think it was... Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto were on there as well. In January.
Ew.
So, this was a big one for the past week. So Xbox or Microsoft announced that Quantum Break is coming to Xbox One and Windows 10 on the same day, April 5th. And I guess Xbox One fans went crazy and were like, what? What is the point of buying an Xbox One if all the games are going to be on PC? Then there are all these reaction articles to that, saying, like, well, you know, an Xbox One is cheaper than a PC. Personally, I looked at it and I thought, like, this is probably, you know, if So, you know, the argument is Xbox One gamers, like, you told us that we would only be able to get Quantum Break on this system. So that is why we bought this system. And, you know, if you're trying to win a console war, you need games that you can only play on this system. But if you're going to put it on PC, then people can, you know, they don't have to buy an Xbox One, and then you're never going to win the sales numbers or whatever.
Mm.
And then all the counters were like, well, a PC is like $1,000, and an Xbox One is really cheap right now.
It's not $1,000.
So, you know, if a person has to choose between buying a PC and an Xbox One right now to play Quantum Break, they're going to buy the Xbox One. I'm kind, like, you know, that makes sense to me, but I kind of disagree. I think actually this is probably the worst time for them to be saying stuff like this, because if their goal is to sell as many Xbox Ones as possible, this is not a good time because of VR. And the people who are excited about VR, they either already have PCs that can play Quantum Break, or they're planning to buy these PCs to play Quantum Break and then also use them on VR. Like, I feel like the argument for buying a Windows 10 PC right now is greater than buying an Xbox One. But, yeah, we really don't know what their plan is over there at Microsoft. They say that they've been responding with, like, oh, we're just, you know, we're trying to bring gamers together. And it's cool, actually, because if you pre-order the Xbox One version of Quantum Break, it's cross-buy. You get the Windows 10 version for nothing. Oh, and as an aside to that, like, it's not a Steam game. It's going to be a Windows Store exclusive. So, yeah, that was exciting to watch. Warren Spector is going to be leading the team making System Shock 3.
I saw that. I saw it tweeted sometime today. I was like, oh.
Yeah, he's returning to full-time development at, I think they're called Other Side Studio. That's cool. Bethesda announced their Fallout DLC plans, and it's sort of weird. Like, this is the... apparently, they've decided that they're making way more DLC than they thought, and so they're going to, starting, I think it's March 1st, they're going to raise the price of the season pass.
What?
So the season pass was $30, and they're going to raise it to $50.
Whoa.
Because they said, yeah, we're doing way more than we thought we were, so we're going to raise the price. But if you already bought it, or if you buy it before March 1st, then you get all the stuff for $30 still.
Reprehensible.
It's sort of weird.
They should just reward their fans for buying
this. Yeah, dude, we could raise the price, but we're going to be cool about it and not.
So it's very, I think, yeah, well, first, it's not weird. It's unprecedented. Nobody has done that yet. No one has raised the price of their season pass.
Well, now the president's been set. Thanks, Bethesda. Go F yourselves.
Yeah.
Now someone else is going to be like, well, we were making more DLC than we thought, too, so got to go ahead and raise ours for an extra map, because and Activision's going to jump all on board this one. So it's like, yep, it's happening, guys.
So that used to be that we had prices go down over time. Now we're just going to raise them over time, because, hey, whatever you said earlier about money, dear boy.
Money, my dear boy, money.
Keep in mind, Bethesda is also, they were the first ones to sell DLC, weren't
they?
Oh,
Horse Armor.
Horse Armor back in the day.
That's kind of funny.
$8? $8 for Horse Armor?
We have come full circle.
Yeah, I guess they're the most avant-garde when it comes to DLC pricing and doing stuff like this. Season Pass, I feel like, has lost a lot of meaning over the years.
Dude, Season Pass has got, like, such negative...
Yeah, like, how many Season Passes are there?
Generation?
There's got to be 7 or 8 Season Passes for Dead or Alive 5.
Wait, there's more than one?
Yeah, and they cost, like, $90 to $100 each.
What
the hell?
It is insane.
Yes, this is what worries me. It's becoming a thing because, like, which phase? Dark Souls 3 has a season pass now, and I don't know how I feel about this because I'm like,
I read the announcement of that. They said, our Dark Souls 2 expansions were really well received, so So you should totally buy our season pass because we're going to continue that. You see, in typical season pass fashion, they said nothing about what it includes. It's just like, give us your money, we'll give you something. It's like grab bag. It's a mystery bag.
And now they might be like, you know what? We added more DLC than we should have. Guess what, guys? Increasing the price on the DLC. So now I'm going to wait for the Scholar of the Second Sin edition of this game because no. No Force from Software. No, we are not playing this game. You're not
It's like a one level above free to play where like you put money in and get nothing out. It's like you put money in and it's a mystery bag of, well, you'll find out when you open it, but I know there won't be any hope, joy, happiness, or fun times. So yeah, have fun with that.
I mean, I guess to be fair, people tend to seem to like Bethesda's, or like is it Bethesda? Yeah, like Bethesda, the development team, their DLC stuff.
Except for when it's horse armor.
Yes. They liked all the story expansions from like Skyrim and Fallout 3 and all that stuff.
Did they like it, or did they just kind of pretend to because they're like, well, guys, this is happening, so
I suppose,
might as well be on board with it.
Once again, this is another one of those games where it's like, none of us play it. Where it seems like tons and tons of people love this game and Fallout 4 Game of the Year and all that, and like the three of us, we don't play it.
Well, I
think there's more Witcher 3 Tropical in Fallout 4, just saying.
Oh, well.
I mean, I played previous Fallout.
Or rather, there's clearly a right and wrong answer to that question, and the right answer is not.
Well, so if we look at season passes, there's sort of a range of them now. I think actually Street Fighter V
is
one of the good ones. You know, they're selling a season pass, but they've told you everything that's in it, and they're allowing you to earn all that stuff with in-game currency that you just earned
not
by playing.
Spend a penny. My fight money.
That's what he's talking about.
Then you got Call of Duty.
Like Tropical and the whole Heroes of the Warcraft
Heroes
or whatever.
Of the Storm. Yeah, I'm just like, whatever.
Those things. Because then you can just earn all this stuff in-game.
I've
and
spent
it's,
$0.
Whereas other people have spent hundreds. Hundreds.
Yep.
Just for a reskin.
I've played with some of those people. They look really fancy, and I'm like, ooh, someday. It'll take me a while.
But at least you won't have to spend money for it.
Money. But yeah, then there's Call of Duty, which is sort of in between, because they have something called the Season Pass, and they do tell you what's in it, or, you know, vaguely. You know, there's map packs and zombie expansions. But then, beyond that, they also sell cosmetic stuff. So I would still consider it a good season pass example, even though it's sort of different from the original season passes back in the day, where it's like, season pass means you buy it and you get every extra thing that comes out after the game releases. yeah, then I don't know what is going to become of this. Bethesda raising the price of season pass. After they've been selling it for a while.
It's happening, guys. It's happening. The fall of gaming. I knew it was going to happen. I predicted it all those years ago. And this is the first horseman of it. The first horseman of the gaming apocalypse.
All right.
You all said I was crazy.
Just know that that is happening.
Actually, Hitman is kind of doing the same thing. Not really, because you can only get it all at the end of the year. Where you can, like, buy it all now and then get it as it comes out. Or you just get, like, the,
So you would think, like, episodic games?
But they do have season passes for episodic games. Except that they don't, like...
Those are, like, the only ones that are, like, not terrible.
Is Hitman not like that?
Because, I mean, with that, you semi-know what you're getting because you know it's, like...
there's some sort of, like, exclusive PlayStation thingy that you get. Like, the Sarah Hill of Six Missions.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if you have to get the full version or just the introduction $15 version.
Well,
I'm also not sure how it's going to work if you have the base pack and like if you can still not access all the stuff that's getting updated to it when you have just that part and like you don't have the season pass or the whatever I got that's all of it. Guess we'll find out in March.
Well,
we can start, you know, marking Game of the Year releases as when the games actually come out. The true release dates.
LOL.
Oh man, that's terrible. But it's the way it is. Like Mortal Kombat, that gets all the stuff in a couple of weeks. And
Mortal
like, oh,
Kombat
what?
Is finally out. The XL
you have to sit there and wait for all
the
stuff.
The XL version came out, which means that the game is out now.
This makes me sad. This makes me sad that we've come to this point. I blame the internet.
I think Arkham Knight is almost out. So yeah, speaking of almost out, Drive Club, back in the day, they said there was going to be an app, companion app for the game, and they actually put it up for a little while before they realized all the online was broken, and then they took it down, and I guess there's a new one, and it's coming soon. That's from their Twitter. So I have no details. Next up, the next PS4 system software approaches, because they sent out a call for people to sign up to test it. Ooh. And it's going to be version 3.5, and I think it's sometime in March that they're going to start sending out invites.
Did you sign up for it?
I did.
Do we know what this is supposed to like be testing exactly?
I have no
or?
Idea. I have no idea.
So for all you know, it's basically like a beta test for a prettier home screen. And
maybe. They changed the blue.
You sicken me, Tropical. You sicken me. I just want you to know that.
Well, so it's cool now. Like, since the 3.0 beta, they've allowed you to, at any point, you can downgrade to the regular version, which is nice, because in the 2.0, you were locked in this beta version of 2.0, and then like you couldn't interact with people that weren't on 2.0. So you lost a lot of system functionality being on the new software.
Ooh.
And then finally, Miitomo, which is Nintendo's first mobile app, you can now sign up for, what did they call it? Like, you can now pre-register for it. And the cool part about that is you can set up your Nintendo account right now. It doesn't actually do anything for you, and I don't know what it will do for you in the future.
It's a drop.
Sounds like one. It sounds like one.
My hope is that it's going to be like PSN and Xbox Live. It's finally an account that unifies all of your downloads.
Oh, Tropical, you silly man. You know how long I've been hoping for things from Nintendo. It's a fun time.
Exactly.
It's not actually.
10 years.
Maybe one of these days.
10 years. Days. So, the time, come on.
Starfuck Zero, still not out yet.
Now.
Still not out yet, and it's probably going to be terrible. But hey, it happened, so.
Because the way that my Nintendo systems get used, it would be really nice if I could just download them and have my downloads linked to my account, and yeah, that would just be great. Like,
on top of the giant list of things I didn't get a Wii U for, is like I was just waiting for them to like have something like that where it's like, you know, nice and awesome like the PSN and Xbox. I'm not gonna say it, but yeah.
Well, I have hope that it's coming soon.
Nope.
Hope springs eternal on Nameless Podcasts. We should know.
Haha, it's true.
It's nice to win things in every episode. We're like, yeah, wouldn't that be great? And then it doesn't happen.
We're probably the most optimistic people ever because the weights we've had on some things. It's like,
the E3 of dreams.
It's happening.
We saw it.
I would say our patience finally paid off.
Yeah, it's like, and then we were like, I guess I can't hope and dream because things do happen. It is happening. It is happening.
It was being a good boy.
These last two things were sort of rumors, and I was like, eh, okay, I'll just kind of mention them. Apparently in an earnings call of some sort, or it was an interview with Fox News, the head of GameStop was saying, yeah, virtual reality is going to be huge. It's going to be really big, and PlayStation VR, we're going to be launching that in the fall. And everyone was like, oh, PlayStation VR is missing their first half of 2016 release date. Which at first I was like, oh, I'm very sad, but on the other hand, delays are good because there's so much stuff coming out all the time anyway. So yeah, the further out you can push these big things.
Because we all know Tropical's like...
Within reason.
All on board this VR train.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
He's already camped out. He's already...
Yeah, as a VR aside, I'm thinking Oculus is probably the one that sort of loses out. Because PlayStation VR has the accessibility and probably the cheapness factor, or affordability factor, and then HTC Vive with Steam has the chaperone thing. And if you don't know what that is, they put a camera on the front of their VR headset. And so you can actually walk around in the room safely because it will tell you, like, you'll be able to know where stuff in the room is.
It's like, hey, watch out for that wall.
It's the little things in life, really. Oversights like that. It's like, why? Who was in the room when this was getting engineered and didn't...
Yeah, so HTC Vive seems next-gen versus the Rift. And
you guys ever hear about Wiimote going through TVs? Just the just
It's true.
So if I was to bet, I think those two are the ones who are going to do better. Unless Oculus can something word get a bunch of exclusives.
Well then.
Seal the deal on a bunch of exclusives, maybe? Yeah. Okay, that sounds right.
I'll accept that.
But then, so as a follow-up to that, some Sony representative said, no, we haven't discussed when we're launching it yet with GameStop, so they're probably just speculating, and, you know, that's, fall is their Super Bowl time, so.
Man, someone is so getting fired.
in a related thing, I don't know how to pronounce their company name. They make toys, Gears of War toys, like NECA, N-E-C-A.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, toy company was basically like, oh,
those guys.
You know, they're making God of War and Uncharted toys, and then they were saying, oh, we saw that Sony's bringing back Crash Bandicoot, so that's cool. And everyone was like, what?
They're doing what? Crash Bandicoot? Like, just
and I guess the update to that was a higher up at that company was like, oh no, that guy misspoke. Like, he saw some picture of Crash somewhere and he assumed, oh, Crash Bandicoot's coming back.
That's funny.
So many people are losing their jobs this week. So many people.
Low level.
This whole time we thought we couldn't trust the game journalists with NDAs and secrets. It was everybody else we had to worry about, really.
This is not news. This was just something from Nintendo Treehouse. Apparently, like, the voice actors for the Fire Emblem games that are coming out had zero Western voice actors had zero context for what they were doing.
Well, that is fantastic.
Like, Nintendo brought them in and was like, okay, we can't tell you the character's name, and we can't tell you what the game is.
I love Nintendo. I love you so much.
Because, yeah, they want to keep their secret. And so the actors are just like, you just do it. So if like it feels off, if the voices feel off, you will know why. They're like overly happy. And it's like, people permadie in this game, right?
Why are you cheering? There's a knife in you. There's a knife in you. Especially since, well, although I guess since they took out the petting minigame thing, that kind of that less awkward, I guess.
I suppose.
It's like, oh, the script says that I should make a strange moaning sound. I don't know how I feel about this. Like, nah, it's fine. It's totally cool. Just go with it. Go.
Woo!
It's like you're not a ghost. Bring it back. Bring it back a little bit.
How do you know? It's not on the script. yeah, okay.
Like, all right. Made a good point there. All right, it's fine. Just keep going. Just keep going. This is going to be hilarious when I buy these games this Friday.
Oh, man.
So are you buying both at the store?
Well, I have Conquest pre-ordered, so I'm getting that one, and I'm probably going to just get the other two during the launch week, because I think they're, like, on sale digitally if you get them, so I'm probably just going to do that and just get all of them, and then just play through Conquest and do Revelations and Whatchamaface, Birthright after Dark Souls is out. Already playing it.
Oh, man, I just found out you can buy GBA games on the Wii U.
Like,
you can play GBA games on your TV or on the gamepad. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
Have they added Pokemon yet? Because I think they showed... I don't know if there's a GBA game, though. But
I don't know if I saw Pokemon, but I saw, like...
I don't know. I think I remember seeing the announcement, but I guess I
that I don't remember them saying anything about it after the fact. Mm. Like, a long time ago, it's a Mithria somewhere. Because, like, Advance Wars or something, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Advance Wars is on there. I wasn't paying attention. I thought it was, like, on PS4, where you can buy Vita games on PS4, but you can't play them on your PS4.
Well, yeah, you cannot, which would be kind of cool if you could. Oh, my God, that'd be so much fun. Oh, my God, why are we doing this? It's not happening.
That's cool. But yeah, that is the news from Aimless this week. I had another topic that I could preview. But no, actually, I hope people will comment on the B-tier games and whether or not people should play them. Given limited time, which everyone has.
Unless you somehow manage to crack the time warping ability or something. You have infinite time. In which case you are cheating at life. And I don't think you should be doing that.
Yeah, leave us a comment. It's very easy. If you're part of our Facebook page subscribers, you can write there, or that same account works on the new aimlesspodcast.com, which is at that address that I just said.
We everywhere.
Those are probably the best ones. YouTube is also a good place. Looks like people watch there. So yeah, when you hear that part, comment. Let us know. Let me know, actually. I'm curious.
Tropical's curious, guys.
I like curiosities. Someone posted a picture of Tony Hawk Ride in the box with the with that board
controller.
I was like, oh, I want it. I know. I heard it wasn't that good, but
it's not.
I'm interested. Have you played it? Oh wait, you did play it. I remember.
Yeah, I remember. My mom beat me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times.
That's great. I want to see it.
All right, so anything to say before we wrap up the podcast, RPG?
Get ready for face painting next week, guys. So much face is going to happen. Now they took it out of the localization, so no. We won't get to see people's faces. But we could. Be happening. And then they'd be like, make a purring sound here. It's like, but why? I'm not a cat. You don't know that. You could be. You could be. There are animal people in this series, by the way, so it is entirely possible that there are cat people. So.
All right, well, Street Fighter's back on the scene. Time to re-engage the battle log and try to get better again and not be terrible.
Me.
That being said, I was not being terrible when I won my four matches, but we'll see where it goes. So yeah.
Is the theme song like as catchy?
No, there's no Indestructible this time. I was kind of bummed out because I started the game, watched a bit of the opening, and I mean the guitar riff is like you first get is like kind of catchy, but it's no Indestructible. Like,
actually, there is a theme song for this one. I will find it for you.
Ooh, alrighty then. But yeah, until next week. Just to recap on the scoreboard, because you know, RPG still has 0, 3 in the contested for Tegan. 6 finished total overall, so that's more than 1 a month right now. Awesome. 1 for Tropical Basketball. And, yeah, like we said, nothing for RPG because he just loves that Digimon. That I Digimon do. Game.
Actually, I wonder how far into the year I can get without actually beating anything. I'm curious now. I'm curious.
And time is closing until Dark Souls 3 gets here in Fire Emblem, and it'll be all, like, juggling games and maybe finishing, maybe not. Who knows? But
I'm never finishing anything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the current score. RPG still without anything.
The only game I can guarantee I'm going to finish this year is Persona 5. So that's the only game I can guarantee is going to be finished. So
that's maybe happening. By the time E3 rolls around, he'll have caught up to me or passed me. Who knows? Maybe Tropical will have passed me. But I've got my stream schedule going, and after this month, when I'm not all for a cause, doing stuff, unleash the hounds and stuff, or something. But yeah, until you hear us here from us again, Aimless Babble Z, thanks for listening and watching, and hope you enjoyed it. And we're now signing off.
Beep.